This is episode number 5 of the Interactive Distractions podcast for the week of December 17th, 2007. It's time for me to talk. Coming up on this week's show, we've got this week's distractions, gaming news, our letter to Spike TV, our feature on the arcade scene, new releases, listener email, and the almighty question of the week.
Hello and welcome to Interactive Distractions. My name is Chris. I'm here with Jeff.
How you doing?
And Jason.
Hey guys.
And this is episode number 5 of the Interactive Distractions podcast. I think that's like a milestone or something. I don't know.
One more and we're on 2 hands.
Half
a
10.
Oh, there you go. That's a good one. So next week's the milestone because we'll be on the 2-hand. The 2-hand episode.
Yep. I can't count that high.
Did you lose an arm or something? I'm not sure.
Why. Don't make fun of his handicap, Chris.
I'm sorry.
I got
sorry.
Toes. We don't have 6 in Canada, so I'm fucked.
How are you guys doing this week?
I'm doing really good now that Jeff's hopping on the Bash Canada bandwagon.
It's contagious.
I know that they're cheap pop jokes, but you know what? That's all I'm good at, so.
We welcome them.
That's right. Well, that's cool. Well, as you guys, I think you both know, I am leaving for vacation tomorrow.
What are we going to do?
So.
I don't know. I'm still going to try and record next week, so we'll see how that works out. It'll be a very portable show if that's the case. I'll be doing nothing but playing. Oh yeah, that was a bad pun. I'll be doing nothing but playing my PSP and my DS next week. So,
well, yeah, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm telling you, man, just go into Starbucks or something, Borders. They have that shit in Orlando. Come on.
Oh, yeah, because I can see myself doing a podcast in the middle of Starbucks.
I will give you $5 if you're in the middle of Starbucks and you give us a who gives a shit.
That would be awesome.
Really loud. $5 on the line. American money.
I'll give you 5 Canadians. That's even more. So we do
that's
that.
Right. That's even worth more. Even more nowadays. How about 500 yen?
The gauntlet has been thrown.
All did right. anyone write in about that game, the shitty game you're supposed to play?
No.
Eamon did, actually. No, Eamon wanted to do Madden 08 in Espanol.
Yeah. En Espanol.
Oh, Espanol.
And I'm sorry, but I won't do that. Not only because I'm not fluent in Spanish, but because I don't play sports games. So there you go.
All right. What games do you play, Chris?
Everything except for sports games and first-person shooters.
That's supposed to be a segue into what's your distractions.
But we always
that's what that was supposed to be.
But we always start with Jason. I can't go out of order.
Oh yeah. That's true. That's true.
All right, everything's been turned upside down. I don't know what to do anymore.
We're messing things up. Oh, I did want to throw something in before we get to distractions. Just kind of a show thing. We have received praises, and we have received a couple people that are talking about the length of the show. And I wanted to comment on the fact that we've just kind of gotten to the point where we're just going to, you know, talk about stuff, and however long the show is, that's how long the show is. We do something that I have not seen any other podcast do, which is have a table of contents that shows the time index of when everything is.
Yes.
So if there's something you want to skip, you can skip it. Because I know that, you know, you guys know I'm not a big fan of Halo, and I hear all these Halo podcasts, especially this week, too, with the new map pack that just came out, and it's like, can I just skip this?
The table of contents thing is
I'm not even all
too, because, I mean, I got to listen to Chris for like 2 hours the first time we do this, and then we got to go through again. It's like, ugh.
Oh, I don't even want to hear it, because you didn't do the first three. You just did the fourth one.
Shut up.
That's right.
Once was bad enough.
All right, so what are you playing this week, Jason?
Not much, but I picked up some new games.
You did?
I'm proud of myself. I did. PS3, still Rock Band. Oh, shit. Timeout, guys.
What happened?
CO2 thing is going off. 1 second. Carbon monoxide shit, and it never fucking turns off. I hate this goddamn thing.
I hope it's still recording.
Yes, it is. Well, I told Jason and I have been talking about doing an outtakes episode, like after we get our 10th one or something like that.
Yeah.
Because we have all the raw recordings still, so we'll go back and find all the. Oh my god!
Wow,
that shit is loud. It's hurting my ears.
That's too funny.
Crystal's sitting next to me, and she said she can hear it.
We're good? Yes?
They don't know yet!
I think Jason has some editing to do.
My chair just fell apart.
Oh, man.
Stay together, you piece of shit. Great start.
Crisis averted. I'm not going to die of carbon monoxide poisoning.
Jason, that was awesome. And that's definitely going in the bloopers reel when we made one.
It was just awesome because you kind of got like fainter and fainter as you walked away, but you're still like so pissed. That was awesome.
That thing was so freaking loud.
Oh, fuck. Imagine it at 3 a.m.
Oh, God. I don't even want to think about it. Your neighbors can probably hear that thing.
Yeah.
All right, so I'll segue again, and you can start over.
I'll just pick up. That's fine. So I don't think it went off until I was talking. So, what have I been playing this week? Damn it!
Sorry,
Chris.
Sorry,
talking.
Sorry,
bot games.
Okay,
stop talking.
And go.
Oh shit. What have I been playing? I scaled back a little bit. On PS3, I'm still doing the Rock Band thing. I'm trying to remain steady on that. I want to get better, and I'm going to take on Eamon, and I'm going to kick his ass.
Yeah, you, right, good luck with that.
First.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, I'm dead. Oh. On the PS3, I also picked up, surprisingly, I got Unreal Tournament 3.
Ooh.
I got a $20 gift certificate in the mail from Best Buy, and it was burning a hole in my pocket, so I picked that up. But I just got that last night, so I haven't really played it too much. I've gone through a little bit of the campaign mode. Initial impressions, the game is slick as shit. It's gorgeous looking. I was a little skeptical because I keep hearing stuff about the frame rate kind of dogging down, maybe in you know, huge online fights. But everything that I've seen solo, no slowdown whatsoever. Frame rate stays very much the same. Very happy with that. I played online a couple times. I experienced zero lag, which is surprising with my connection because I go through like two different routers, and I expected to just, you know, lag out completely. I didn't. But back to the campaign mode real quick. Unreal Tournament is a very arcadey first-person shooter, so don't expect a really deep storyline. It's not going to get in-depth. It's not going to be like Gears of War or anything like that.
Because that was a way in-depth story.
Compared to this, shit. Compared to this, it is. But no, it basically gives you a rundown of the new game modes and the new weapons and whatnot. And I do appreciate that because I'm not as up on the scene as everybody else is. I hate jumping into online stuff and just being completely overwhelmed. I have no idea what the maps are like. So this gives me an opportunity to do it at my own pace, and then I feel a little more comfortable jumping online.
The single player, is it just like pretty much the multiplayer with bots, or is there actually like levels and different enemies and stuff like that?
Different enemies. There are three or four different groups. I forget offhand. There's like the Ronins, which are, you know, the main group that you play. There's like the aliens. I forgot the name of everything. I'm really sorry. But I think there's four different groups. And as the story unfolds, you fight different groups. That's all I've seen so far. But I'm going to stop talking out of my ass because
I'm
choking over my own words.
Well, I know you're not a big fan of the first-person shooters either, but you're still enjoying it very much, yes?
Yeah, very much. Like I said, Unreal Tournament is arcadey, and I can't do the hyper-realistic shooters. You know, if I get hit with one bullet, I'm dead. I can't deal with that because I'm going to die all the fucking time. So this is easier for me. I like that. Yeah, I like the looks of everything because it's futuristic, and you know, you got crazy ass weapons, and I'm not firing an M60 or an M16 or anything all the time, which gets boring and bland to me. Mm-hmm. But that's personal preference. All right, what else? Oh, 360, Phantasy Star Universe. I think you guys have heard of that.
No.
Really? Well, let me tell you about Phantasy Star Universe.
What is this universe you speak of?
No, I'll just move on. Picked up Beats on PSP.
How is that?
Interesting.
That's now that works with any music, right? What exactly does it do?
It's a rhythm game, and you're supposed to. It basically plays off the music that you have on your memory stick. What it does is it takes the MP3 and analyzes it, finds out the BPM, and then attempts to make a rhythm game out of it. You know, you'll have like three different spots where these musical notes are coming in from all sides, each corresponding to the buttons on the PSP, and you've got to hit them at the right time. They're supposed to match up with the beats of the music, and I'm not finding that they are so much, which is completely contradictory to what I'm hearing everywhere. Everybody's just hailing this thing as a godsend for the PSP, and I think they're just factoring in that it's only $5, and that's what you're going to get out of it. It's really styled well. I mean, it's a gorgeous-looking game. I like that you can remix music as well, kind of on the fly, and then upload stuff like that, but I don't know. Right now, I'm glad it's only $5. I might get into a little bit more. We'll see. But for right now, I don't know. Try it out. But that's my week.
Cool. There are a couple new things in there. That's good.
Yeah.
Jeff, how you doing?
Not too bad. Haven't really touched my consoles the last week, really. I don't even think I turned on my PS3. I did try to turn on once with my PSP to see if my whole remote play was working. And that's about all I could do, and that's about it. I can't do any of the remote play stuff, and I think it has something to do with my router. And when it comes to that kind of stuff, I'm retarded. So I'm going to have to look somewhere online and figure out how to fix that. It's been 360, Call of Duty 4. Still the same as it was last time. Mass Effect, still going away through that the second time. I find, are you guys playing through as evil or like Renegade or the Paragon or whatever it is? Basically good or evil?
We kind of talked about that earlier today. I asked Chris if he was going one or the other. I'm just kind of playing it by ear, how I would, do this sort of thing. And I think I'm ending up more Paragon than Renegade, but it's close. I don't know.
It's basically how I played the first time through, and then the second time I'm going through trying to be more Renegade. And this is probably one of the first games that I've played where I actually kind of get some, like attachment to the characters, and you kind of get to know them the first time you play through. So now I just feel like a total asshole being a dick to these characters. I'm going through and they're saying something nice, and I'm like, whatever, you're a soldier, suck it up. And mind you, I'm like a female character this time too, so it's even more. I'm like the biggest bitch in the universe. You can address this bitch to fly this ship and all this crap, but it is cool. I'm finding that it is really different, so that's kind of cool, but I'm still kind of in the beginning stages of that for the second time. I've been mostly sticking to my portables lately. By portables, I played some stuff on DS. By some stuff, I mean Contra 4. Have you guys played that at all? Or
want to?
I have it. It's right here. I actually bought it for my trip, so I'm going to break it out next week, and hopefully we'll talk about it next week.
Get ready to get your ass kicked.
Yeah, I've heard that. I've heard
tough.
That.
I played it at a buddy's house, and we actually played co-op on easy, and it was retardedly hard. Because now not only do you have the bullets coming on the main screen with all the enemies, you have the top screen to worry about too, and a bullet comes out of nowhere and you're running like, where the fuck did that thing come from? And then you look up like, oh shit, that's right, there's that whole top screen to look at. Which I don't know if I like right now. I'm not sure if it's something I'm not used to. Like, we only played through like one or two levels, but it seemed to take a while to get used to it, because it is kind of like a lot of area to look at when you're holding that thing, it's... When most games use the top screen or bottom screen is like a map or your inventory, and then the one screen's what's happening, like the action of the game. And this is the action of the game happening on both, and because there's that gap between the two screens, when you see a bullet come down, of course it takes into consideration that gap. So your eyes, visually, when you look at it, you say, okay, the bullet's going down like on this angle, it's going to come out the exact same angle on the next screen, but really it doesn't, because it takes that little gap into consideration on how it'd be moving through there, so it actually comes through a little bit more to like the left or to the right or whatnot. And it's, I found it kind of annoying, but it seemed really cool. It seemed really true to the Contra series, so it was fun, but I was cursing up a storm the entire time playing it. And
I have one question.
Yeah.
Does the Konami code work?
Oh, that I'm not too sure. I forgot to ask.
And
I know. That should have been the first thing we tried.
Jeff, you're fired. I'm sorry.
I'm going to go to fired every week. Yeah, no kidding. Different reason every time. It's awesome. So keep the streak going. I don't know. I'd like to say that it probably does work, but I'm sure if it did, my friend would have told me, but hey.
Tune in next week when we let you know if the Konami code works on Contra 4.
Exactly. when someone with credibility can tell you how it is.
Oh, really? Who's that?
Yeah, that's a good point.
I know you're not talking about me.
Of course, I told you guys about my PSP Slim I got last week, so I finally dove into some games. First game I played was Castlevania Chronicles, and really liking it. And again, that game kicks my ass at certain points. It's just
it's tough. I know.
So yeah, frustrating.
I always get to the Grim Reaper, and he kicks my ass.
That's exactly where I'm at right now.
Yeah.
And I've done that level about 19 times. And
I haven't done it that many times. I've done it like four.
I might be overshadowing a bit, but it's definitely, I'd say it's definitely about 10 at least, but I still haven't beat it. But what sucks about that level is, and kind of, that doesn't, the game kind of keeps this tradition the entire, or this theme the entire time, is their checkpoints are so poorly placed that if you die close to the end of the level, for all you know, you come back and you continue. Well, when you continue, you start at the beginning of the level. But sometimes when you die, just like, you know, you have like 3 men left, you die, it'll take you back 5 minutes previous to where you were, and you're like, oh, crap. So you go through it again, and say you get hit like 4 times, you're like, oh, shit, now I gotta face this boss. Do I bother trying to, or should I kill myself off and try to start all over again? Which is kind of addicting, because then you kind of get used to, like, you memorize the level, and you kind of get through the entire level without getting hit. Then you get to the boss character, and then you do something stupid. And you die, and I almost threw my PSP against the wall a couple times. I was like, no, you're so beautiful. I can't do that to you.
You're so silver and pretty.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you unlock Maria yet?
No, yes, I did unlock Maria. Okay. Now, I was going to ask you guys, because you guys said that you unlock Symphony of the Night pretty early in the game. Am I at that part yet?
Actually, you've passed it. You have to go into the alternate
route.
Like stage 2 or something like that.
Yeah, and the way it works is you know, you find the secret exit, and it'll bring you to, like, say you find the secret exit in the first stage, it'll bring you to level 2 prime. Well, in level 2 prime, if you just go straight through 2 prime, you end up at level 3 on the next one. You have to find the secret exit in 2 prime to get to 3 prime.
Okay.
Correct. So, and I think it's, I can't remember if it's in 2 prime or 3 prime.
Okay.
That you find Symphony of the Night.
And I guess I'm taking it you'd open the original Dracula X by beating the game?
No, actually, you should have already unlocked the original Dracula X.
What the hell?
Yeah, it was on the way to where you are right now.
Same level.
It was in level 3.
Level 3, huh?
Yeah. I think Symphony of the Night is in 2 prime after you find the secret entrance to get to 3 prime.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that the original Dracula X is in regular stage 3.
Oh, okay.
Pretty sure. I can't remember for sure, but I think that's where it is.
Sounds right.
Cool. I'll have to go back, because you can go back and just replay the levels whenever you want, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so I'm going to give that a try then. That tonight. Overall, I'm really liking the game. I think it's definitely worth it. I mean, it was only, what, $20 or $30?
Yeah.
And, I mean, you're getting 3 games. One thing I still haven't decided if I like or not. I usually like when they take the whole 2D game sprites and then kind of redo it in 3D, polygonal, whatever, however you want to pronounce it, and then throw it, but 2D scrolling. I kind of like the way the DS games looked, where it's just, you know, kind of like higher res sprites, and I don't know. I kind of wish that they redid it, but kept the art style to sprites. Yeah. I don't think there's a reason
like
for them to
maybe
do
increased
it.
The number of animation frames that he had.
Exactly. Like, throw it to 60 frames, throw it in there, make it, you know, kind of like bigger sprites, whatever. I still like it. I still think it's really cool. It's really fluid. But I find when you see, when characters that size on the PSP screen, when they're moving, they blur a lot if they're done in 3D. I don't know if you guys saw it at all.
No, I haven't really noticed.
But yeah, no, it's really cool looking. And I think a lot of the difficulty, too, comes to the fact that they take away a lot of things that were done in Super Contra, what am I thinking? Super Castlevania 4 for Super Nintendo. That was like the first Contra where you can actually swing your whip in 8 different directions.
The first Castlevania.
What did I say?
Said Contra again.
Oh, what the hell. But yeah, Castlevania for Super Nintendo. You can swing the whip in like 8 different directions. Just the fact that in this one you can only swing like pretty much right or left, standing, ducking, or jumping.
Right.
That's what makes the game hard. Cause you gotta, like,
well, I think, wasn't 4 the only one that did that?
For Portrait
I'm pretty sure
Ruin,
it was the only one that did that.
Portrait of Ruin, you can do that too.
Oh, really? Oh, okay, cool.
Depending on the whip you have, because there's a bunch of different weapons. But yeah, I guess it was probably just use of that, because that was the last game, because I just played Portrait of Ruin last week. So, Gotcha. It's kind of like, that's what's missing. But yeah, it's really cool. The other game actually surprised the hell out of me. It was Daxter. That game is awesome. It's so fun. And that was one of the games I was looking forward to when I had my PSP the first time, but it came out just after I sold it. And, pardon me, it came with the system. And I remember playing it for about 5 minutes, 10 minutes. I was like, the graphics are really good, but, you're Daxter, Jack's little sidekick, and you're going around, you swat bugs with the fly swatter. And at first, I was like, I can't see this being really fun. So, right. Of course, after being frustrated to hell with Castlevania, I was like, fuck this, I'm going to play Daxter. And I played it for about 2 straight hours. It's great. Yes, that's what you're doing, basically, is exterminating bugs, but the level design's awesome. You're doing something new in every level and swinging off stuff, climbing up stuff, driving like a scooter or this little kind of hovercraft around. And it's really, really, really well done. And I don't know if you guys know this, but it was made by Ready at Dawn, the same guys who are doing God of War.
Yeah, I did know that.
Oh, cool.
Changed with this. Yeah, and if I have... Right now, I just know if they did that much of a good job on Daxter, which isn't their IP, and then they got the God of War franchise, I can't wait, because Daxter is awesome. If you guys don't have it, buy this game. It's a budget title now. It's really, really good.
Well, I got the same PSP package you did, so I have Daxter. I just haven't played it, but based on what you're saying, it's coming with me on the trip. I'll probably be playing it on the trip.
It is excellent. I don't usually like... actually, I can't really say that. I love platformers, but... Like, just after the first 10 minutes, you'll be like, I don't know if this is going to stay fun, but surprisingly it does, and the story's really well written, it's funny, and I'm playing this, like, I can say right now I'm enjoying it more than Castlevania, but only because lately I guess I've been in the mood to not be frustrated, so I'm just kind of sticking with that. So that's basically about it that I've been playing lately. It's been mostly all portables for me. Actually, you know what? No, sorry, I got one more. I played, actually, Link's Crossbow Training yesterday.
Oh.
My neighbor picked it up at the Zapper.
And what do you think of the Zapper?
It's cool the first time we played. I was like, okay, it's kind of cool. You're kind of shooting at targets. And the game's not bad for a budget title. I mean, the whole thing together is, $30 Canadian. I guess that's what, 20? Is this 20 there, or have you guys?
It's 20 here.
Is it 20 there? Yeah. So
good luck finding it, though. Yeah, everybody's selling it for like 40 now online. But
oh, really?
Hmm. Yeah, anyway.
Yeah, but it's decent for the price, I guess. But I don't think the Zapper adds. I find it's kind of off when you're aiming at the screen. Like it has the whole reticule there, you're moving around, but it's kind of got this kind of like a little delay like the Wiimote usually does. I would like to try the game out without using the Zapper itself and see if I have more fun that way, because I found it kind of awkward, especially in the levels where you have to control Link with the analog with the nunchuck. So you're kind of moving around, you have to look right and left, up and down with the Zapper and move him at the same time. It's just felt kind of awkward, but I mean, hey, for $20 it's... I'd have to recommend it. It's pretty cool. Have you tried it? Good, Jay, you have it, right?
Yeah, I liked it, actually. I didn't have any problem with the Zapper at all. I thought it was kind of a cool attachment.
Have you played any other games?
Lisa's still playing it. No, I haven't tried it on anything else yet.
No, it's definitely cool.
I've seen them playing it when I went over to Jason's place, but that's the only experience I have with it. It looks like it would be fun. It's just that the... I don't know, when I look at the Zapper, the casing itself, it just looks awkward to me.
It is kind of awkward, yeah. I don't know why they put the trigger at the front. That kind
of
feels...
And that's
too.
That was one of the things, the first things that I said when I saw it, and it's like, it that's not the way you would hold a gun in that shape, you know? It would be, you know, your left hand would be in the front, and the trigger would be in the back where your right hand is, and that's not the way they did it, so I don't know.
It feels kind of weird. This is the main thing I didn't like about it is, it's actually, this isn't even just a Zapper complaint, it's any light gun that they put the reticule on screen. Like, you know, the old light guns, there was nothing on the screen, you basically aim and shoot.
Right.
And the problem with this is because it's done by this moving reticule on screen, if you want to aim at something really quick, you aim really quick with the Zapper, and that's where the delay is, which is natural because you have to wait for the reticule to move over to where it is, right? You know what I mean?
I see what you're saying, yeah.
That's kind of, it's not that long. It's only about like maybe half a second to a second, but just kind of for precision. But luckily, Link's Crossbow Training, you don't really need too much precision. Like, you can aim roughly around what you want to shoot at, and you take it out. But it's fun. Yeah, I can see how I can see why it's selling a lot, because it's got casual gamer written all over it. Right. And it's fun for anybody. I mean, anyone could play it. And it's not violent or anything like that, so... Mm-hmm. Adults, like, parents let their kids play. I want to try it out with either Resident Evil or Ghost Squad, though. See how it's like with those two games.
Oh, yeah, Ghost Squad. I heard that was supposed to be pretty good.
Yeah, I remember playing in the arcades a long time ago. It was pretty cool. Well, yeah, that's it for me.
Cool.
Well, I have been giving the most love to my 360 this week. I'm going to start off with PS3 first because it's going to be quick. But you know, we had Rock Band Friday again, so I was playing Rock Band, and then it was Rock Band, so it was loads of fun. But Jason is copping out on us now because we said we're going to implement a Rock Band Friday rule that everyone has to sing at least one song, and he said he's going to start not showing up, and I was like, ah, whatever.
If there wasn't such a push to have me sing Run to the Hills.
You don't have to sing Run to Your Hills, man. Just sing whatever you want. It doesn't matter.
I could sing anything I wanted, but it would always come back to Run to the Hills. Always.
Well, only with one person.
I can never satisfy you guys. It's never good enough.
After everyone left Rock Band Friday, me and a couple people played, John and Tina stuck around for a little bit longer, and we played Pain. And we specifically played the horse mode of Pain. And we had so much fun. And the way it works is all you have to do is as long as you hit the target that they hit first, long as that's the first target you hit, then it just matters what your score is. And it's just funny to see, you know, and it happened to all of us. It's like, you know, you shoot him off and he hits the thing the first time and then things fall down and you're trying to, you know, nudge him around with the ooch and just get as many points. And all of a sudden you see the points go straight up in the air and it's just like, oh my God, how did that happen? And it's a lot of fun. I mean, I have to admit that I am not unhappy about spending $10 on this game. I'm having a lot of fun with it, so
that's good.
And surprisingly enough, it's actually I saw two coming off the reviews show from last week. I saw two reviews on it, and they were both 7.5s. And for a game like this to get a 7.5, I have to admit that's pretty impressive in my eyes.
Yeah, agreed.
So I'll come to 360 last since I have the most love for it this week. I've been playing Brave Story some more. I'm still liking that a lot. I'm going to bring it with me on the trip and hopefully get more progress out of it. Based on a question that Jeff asked me yesterday, I picked up Street Fighter Alpha 3 Max again, just to see if the D-pad worked that much better on fighting games. Man, is it night and day! It is so much better. So if anybody is really, really into fighting games, if you have been thinking about upgrading and you want to play the fighting games on the PSP, then it probably would be worth it to do so.
Yeah, total 100% truth. I asked Chris this the other day because I remember having Street Fighter Alpha 3 and it playing on the old one was impossible to do dragon punches and fireballs. And after he said, yeah, I picked it up today, played it for about 3 minutes before we started recording the show today, and definitely right away started throwing fireballs and uppercuts and stuff. It was awesome.
Yeah, I was doing all my old combos. It felt really good. So moving on. 360. The two games that I've been playing the most this week is Phantasy Star Universe, of course, and Mass Effect. Phantasy Star Universe, I am noticing that the missions that come with the expansion they give tons of mission points. And
oh
the
my
mission
fucking
points,
God.
There's two missions off of that start in Parham, which is the first planet that you go to. Basically, it's where most people start, and those two missions are which you know the first one is like level 5 quish creatures, and the second one's like level 10 creatures, but together they give you a total of 60 mission points if you get an S on both of them, and it's just a ridiculous amount of mission points. And I'm already I'm level 20, and I've already upgraded to my advanced type. So, and that's...
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
The fuck is a mission point?
Okay. Let me explain this real quick. You become a type, and a type is like a job in Phantasy Star Universe. And you start off as one is three basic types. There's a hunter, which is your melee character, a ranger, which is your gunner, and a force, which is your magic user. Now, an advanced type, you have to level up... either one of them to level 10, your job, or two of them to level, like, somewhere between level 3 and 5. Like, one will be level 3 and one will be level 5. The mission points are what give you, basically, experience in your type.
Oh, okay.
So, to get 60 mission points out of two missions, I mean, that's almost a level when you're looking at the lower jobs, the lower types.
Cool.
So, I've already become my advanced type, and I'm just absolutely loving it. I don't know if I mentioned this to you, Jason, but you know, my big motivation for this was some of the new weapons, mainly the whips.
Yeah.
And
as
soon as I became an Acrotecher, I went to Motub because that's where the whips are, and I had enough money to buy one. I barely had enough money to buy one. I had like 92,000.
Yeah.
And so I look at the specs on it. Mm-hmm. And my ATP isn't high enough. My attack power is not high enough to use it. Yeah, so I gotta wait.
How off are you?
I think I'm off by like 30 or 40. So I've got a couple levels to go up.
Yeah, that's gonna be the drawback, I think, because they're giving us much more mission points now. So we're gonna get to those advanced jobs quicker, but we're still gonna have to wait a little bit.
Yeah.
So that's a bottleneck.
Okay, I got a quick question. I know we probably don't want to talk about PSU forever, but
we could.
I could.
I'm sure we could.
We could do an entire show on PSU if you want.
Well, Phantasy Star Online, I remember like it was useless. It was pointless to buy weapons because you'd find all the good ones.
PSU, you definitely buy weapons.
No, after every mission in PSO, I would always go back to the store. I was a bitch for it, though. I'd go through and I'd check all the stats, and that's where you find your really good shit sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, you can have a spread needle that does 25% all the way across the board, and that's going to be awesome than just over, I don't know, a lot of the drops didn't have percentages, I guess. Going to the store, you'd get more opportunity for stat weapons, I think.
So I don't remember even having the opportunity to buy a spread needle or anything like that in the shops.
No, you don't.
Like,
you don't,
that's just an example. You couldn't buy a spread needle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you had to find the spread needle.
Okay, cool. Because I wasn't sure if... Okay. So you still... PSU is still the same way. Like, all the cool weapons and shit you find playing the game.
No, it's not. No, all the cool weapons you find boards for, and you have to craft them. Either that or you go to...
And that is... Yeah, see, that is my biggest complaint of the game, is that you need to craft pretty much.
I just totally lost my interest in the game now.
Yeah, but see, the thing about that is that this... Now they have, in Phantasy Star Universe, they have user shops. And you can open up a user shop and sell stuff. So now, instead of finding the weapons, you find stuff that you sell that you can sell in your store, and then you can always go and buy the weapons from other user shops.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of, you buy all the weapons basically, but you know that you find them from user shops.
Where's the fun in the game?
Exactly. I mean, the first game, that half the fun was, you know, besides the social thing, it was the fat loot. It was the drops.
It was people. You see that red box.
There is something lost.
You are not going to get that in PSU. You're going to find crafting materials, and you're going to find items that you have no idea what the fuck they're for, can't even pronounce the name. They seem worthless to you. And that takes a lot of fun out of the game. That's my biggest gripe with it.
Especially now, I mean, that's like the one thing that's really missing from the game to make it feel more like a sequel to PSO is the fact that you can get drops like that. You know, you get weapon drops. You know, once in a while you'll get a weapon drop or an armor drop or whatever, but they're all, you know, boring. It's like the first few levels you get weapon drops and they're like, you'll get like 1-star and 2-star stuff. You get into like the
it's all shit you can buy from the store.
Exactly.
And for cheap.
Yeah, and it's stuff that you're probably using something better by now anyway. So basically, if you go into a mission that has like level 20 creatures and you walk in there with a B rank sword or something like that, the drop is going to be a C rank sword.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's one of the things that takes away from it. But I mean, it is pretty close. Besides that, now, and I don't know. I think the only thing that's missing. They're even going to put in the old Phantasy Star Online missions, from what I understand.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah. Anyway. But yeah, I'm still having a lot of fun with that, and I got to play online with someone else from VGEVO this week, and we had a lot of fun with it. So, still loving it, still pimping it. Everyone play it.
Same here.
Mass Effect, I am much happier with now than I was last
Woo-hoo!
Week.
You're a Spectre, aren't you?
Yes, I am a Spectre, and This is something that Jason brought up to me that I wanted to mention, because he moved forward a lot quicker than I did in Mass Effect at the start. And before I became a Spectre, and I was when I was still in the Citadel, I was telling him how boring I felt, and he's like, "Well, you know, I've been doing this, and you know, I'm exploring solar systems," and he said the magic words. He said Star Control 2. And those are magic words to me, because
you know, how could we not think of that game when we did the whole remakes?
I don't even know. I don't even know. Don't even get me started, man.
I do not want that word. It's a fucking classic. It was redone, actually. Wait, is this a
Urquhart Masters?
Yeah, the Urquhart Masters.
They basically took the 3DO version
and put it on the PC. Yeah, I actually put. Somebody Google it. I'm gonna put it.
That
show
one
up.
Ship. No. Fast little things you could send out to the other ship, and the heat seek, and this.
Yeah.
Propel you with lead. Oh.
I actually posted a link on it in the PC section of Gamers Liberation Front. Mm-hmm. So if you really want it, you can go look there.
Nice.
I went out and searched it and searched for it, because that's what I felt like when I was playing Mass Effect. When I got out into the solar system, I was exploring the planets, you know. Yeah. And you know, it's not the same, because if it's a planet you're not going to land on, you just walk up and you fly up to it, you scan it, and you get something. It's like, hey, yeah, I got something for free. And But the ones that you land on, it's like, you know, getting in that little Land Rover, but you're down on the surface with the Land Rover. The camera's down on the surface.
Yeah.
So, and I thought that was kind
of
cool.
I didn't do any of that, actually. I landed on the moon, and that's about it.
What?
But I'm going to do the second time. Like I said, I kind of rushed through the first time, and I really only started to do, like, side missions towards the end, and I only wanted to do missions where it was like, I know there's some you have to actually go to planets, but I was like, yeah, I'll do that the second time through.
Yeah, I gotta tell you something, man. You know, when you first exit, they give you the three story missions, the three missions that progress the story.
Yep.
I am now 11 to, well, I'm actually 12 hours in, and I've only done one of those story missions.
Which one did you do?
Pharos.
How do you think? That one's, I think that's the first one I did too, actually.
Yeah, it's the
one
with
the... No, I did Novaria first, actually.
Yeah, it's the one with the Geth attack, the other colony that gets a Geth attack.
Oh, yeah. That's one of the most favorite ones.
Yeah, me too. And I'm actually, there's like five or, there's like four or five side missions just in that planet. And I did them all.
I don't think I did any of those ones either. That's when we have to choose which person goes with the other army, right?
No. This is the one where,
it's not?
It's a colony that's been infected.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
There's a research facility.
Yeah, I'm trying not to give a lot of stuff away, but
yeah, okay. And there's
four or five side quests in there. One of them being like restore power, and one is restore water and stuff.
That's
like that.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And I did all of those.
Nice.
And I had a great time doing it too. So I actually just now finished up that planet, and that's where I am now. I did two side quests in other solar systems before I even got to that one.
Well,
so, and now I'm going to.
You're at 11 hours or something?
Yeah, I'm like at 11 or 12 hours. Because I actually went and did side quests that I probably shouldn't have done, because I probably should have been at a higher level before I went to do them.
Yeah.
But I got through them, and now I'm like.
Yeah, you're looking at least a 25 hour, probably, if you keep doing it that way.
Yeah, probably. But I mean, this is the. Now we're getting into the stuff that I like. You know,
yeah.
I'm really enjoying what I'm doing right now, and the conversations. Whereas I don't think they're as amazingly interesting as many other people do, I don't find them nearly as tedious as most RPGs.
No, they're not at all.
Not even close. Yeah. Honestly, I was just telling Jason before we started the show, it's going to be hard for me to be away from Mass Effect for a week. He's like, "Why don't you bring your 360 with you?" I'm like,
no.
I'm afraid to move the damn thing. I haven't gotten a red ring.
It's gonna
yet.
Red ring.
I'll get to Florida and turn it on, and it'll red ring on me. It's like, fuck. But you know, that's my week, man. I've been playing a lot less, but it's been just focusing on Phantasy Star Universe and Mass Effect mostly.
Yeah, it's been a short week for me too, because I think we got the podcast out late and.
Yeah.
I mean, that was like a few days ago, you know? So, my week has been a few days.
Anyway. Well, I start my week for the distractions from Friday of last week, since we record on Thursdays.
Yeah, it's basically what I do.
Lucky you.
Oh, there's one actually thing I did want to say. Actually, the reason I didn't say it is because I actually forgot because I played it for such a small amount of time. Assassin's Creed, I tried to go back to that last week. I was kind of had this like ADD moment. I think it was like Sunday. I didn't know what to play. Like, I haven't played Assassin's Creed in a while. I'm going to put that in. I think I'm done with that game.
Really?
Yeah. I thought I was loving it. I was like, you know what? It's tedious doing the same stuff over again. But, you know, as long as you like stick with it and just kind of like get in the role, like, yeah, I'm an assassin, take this guy out. And I went to, you know, the city, you know, I got my hit. And I was like, okay, now I got to go do all the tedious crap, like interrogating and eavesdropping. I did one of those, and I was like, yeah, you know what? I really don't feel like doing another three more of these before I can go kill the dude. And I just started playing something else. So I think I'm done with that game.
That's a shame. I still need to try it. I haven't tried it yet.
Definitely rent it. I was saying to somebody actually on the boards today that it's the hardest game in the world to give a score, because if you were to rent this game for like a day and only play it for five to maybe 7.5 hours, you'd think it's amazing. And then not till later on, you realize how like monotonous it is. You're just kind of like, yeah, it's really not the greatest thing ever. So if you're only going to put a few hours into it, you'll probably love it. That's why I'm saying rent it. But yeah, I'm starting to notice now like what all the complaints are coming from. And yeah.
I need to add one more thing too, actually. I downloaded the demo for Burnout Paradise.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Should we do it
now? And I actually downloaded it for both 360 and PS3, just so I could play them both and say what I'm about to say right now.
So let me guess.
They're exactly the same.
Frame. Oh, nice.
They're exactly the same. I mean, I didn't see any difference at all. I mean, there may have been a couple things about the PS3 one where the lighting was a little bit better, but I didn't. It wasn't anything enough. It wasn't enough to notice, you know, without sitting there and, you know, squinting your eyes and like, is that the same? Or,
yeah.
You know, it's, without being side by side, I could not tell the difference. Not even a bit. And the game is fantastic. I mean, 60 frames, very smooth frame rate, all kinds of crap going on. The damage engine is just crazy. I mean, you just see, like, the entire car crumple when you run into something. It's something so cool. So definitely download that demo and play it. And
those guys are so good with graphics. I don't know how they do it.
Oh, tell me about it. They did a great job, and I'm amazed that they did as well as they did on the PS3 and the 360 for that matter.
For both.
Yeah. And you know, I always talk about I talk about the lighting in Uncharted, and this is the same idea. It's like all the real time shadowing. It's like when you drive under a bridge, you can see all the beams and stuff, the shadows that from the beams that are being put on the car.
That's
and,
awesome.
You know, it's really, really cool.
Look what they did with Black on the PS2, man.
Yeah, I never played that, but I heard it was pretty amazing.
It looks unbelievable, especially like for the PS2 version looking pretty much identical to the Xbox version. I was like, wow. Like, they know their shit.
Yeah, they're good. They're good. Anything else you guys want to add?
Lots of stuff, but we only have a couple hours.
I know, right?
Yeah. True that.
On to...
All right, let's do the news.
Jeff, what do you got for us this week?
All right, first ones that I'm sure a lot of people have a little bit to say about this. Why do you go on to Xbox Live and you want to buy something? So you want to buy something that's 400, you know, Microsoft points, and you realize you can only buy them in 1,000 point increments, or I believe the other ones. Can you buy them in 500? No, it's just 1,000, right?
I think it's 1,000.
Like 1,500 or whatever. And you were talking about this, Chris. Was it last week? I think you were talking about this and how.
Yeah, and that's the main reason that I thought we should talk about it on the news is because I thought it was funny that we talked about it and like the next day.
Yeah,
they talked about this on 1UP, I think, is where I saw the news report.
Yeah, and so everyone kind of wondered why was this ever brought up to Microsoft? Who knows? But somebody, one of the editors at 1UP, actually decided to go out and ask Aaron Greenberg, who's one of the marketing guys for Microsoft. Why
they
is this?
They were listening to our show last week.
They must have been. And here we go. Okay. He says, the reason why we do that, the core reason, is around credit card transaction fees.
Bullshit! Excuse me.
Yeah. If we do this in bulk, We don't have the burden of the consumer with the transaction fees or ourselves or publishers. It's about keeping the infrastructure costs down. I know it's sometimes frustrating because you end up with odd points, but we don't have any plans to change that. Yeah.
Fuck you, Microsoft.
Bullshit.
That fuck you, Microsoft.
I'm
sorry. There's the okay. To say something like credit card transactions is the reason that they do this, that's okay. The people that get charged,
they do get charged for
charged 2%. But you know what? Yeah. Sony gets charged 2% too, and so does Nintendo when they do it.
Yeah,
you know. So I mean, it's like the point is that you know they sell it in 2,000 point increments, but $20 is 1,600 points. So they're making you buy 5 extra points for $20 worth. At least on the Wii, if you buy Wii points, $20 is 2,000 points. And then, you know, you can use 2,000 points to get your stuff. And the one that's doing it right is Sony, where you just, you know, you put money in your wallet.
Using real money.
Yeah. And you spend exactly what you need. You add exactly what you need. It's like
they're
paying transaction fees for all that crap.
Yeah.
You know, it's bullshit. Microsoft, get your stuff together.
Yeah, they won't because they're making a killing on it. Because I have to say, like, it's forced me having those little points in there. I've bought in dumb shit like themes and gamer picks. I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? And I'm the first person to tell someone, don't buy that shit. It's a waste of money. But I'm sitting there, I'm like, okay, I have 200 points. What can I get? And instead of just saving it, it's been sitting there forever. I bought the what did I buy the other day? Oh, the Mass Effect theme for my dashboard. I'm like, yeah, why not? The points are there. I haven't gotten anything off Xbox Live in months. I haven't bought a live arcade game, which I'll get to later, and I was like, you know what, I may as well do something. I'm sick of looking at the same dashboard forever. I'm going to go ahead and download something. And at the same time, I wanted to poke myself in the eye with a carrot, because I don't know why I was giving them money. But they already had it anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
Nuts. Anyway,
moving on to another kind of weird question. Not weird question, but to do with online firmware updates for PS3. As you all know, we get them quite often. I'd say about, I almost say once a month, I'd say, at least, right?
Usually.
Lately, once a month.
Lately, it's been once every other month or so.
Yeah. Well, there was a time when I'm pretty sure, like, the last two were 2 weeks apart.
Right, because they had to fix a problem.
Yeah, exactly. That the fixed problem that the update caused in the first place, right?
Right.
Yeah, way to go. So here's Sony, based on that, they're saying that we're trying to certainly cut down on the amount of times we do it. But on occasion, we get these features, we want them ready to go, let's give them to the customer as soon as we get them, sort of thing. They understand, basically, that it's happened frequently and people are complaining or that it is kind of annoying. But they're saying there's a couple more updates to come this year, which is funny because there's not even a month left this year. But hey, you expect another couple more updates. They didn't specify the content or whatnot. And basically, they're trying to improve the speed of the actual downloads because it's... I know I've had not problems downloading them, but they take forever. Not only that, they take forever to install once I do download them. And it comes down to like, what would you guys prefer? Do you guys prefer them rushing out these updates, or do you prefer them to like get all these features, like get everything, make sure it's works somewhat perfectly, and then send them out like once every say 3 months or something like that?
Like
somewhere in between, because yeah, Xbox Live does 2 a year, which I think isn't enough. But
yeah, they do need more, but. Yeah, I see what you're saying. It's a tough call.
Yeah,
see, I personally...
That I'm really, really that interested in. Depends on what they're releasing. Chris, I'll let you answer this one.
I don't mind how often they're doing it. I just wish they wouldn't do the entire firmware package when you have to download it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's no reason to do that. They could make it faster just by, you know, sending the firmware package with just what's updated and you know, doing it that way. I mean, I don't know how their infrastructure is, but... You know, I what if I think about it in my head, the way that things, you know, work from a files perspective, you know, it just makes sense that part of it would get updated and part of it wouldn't. I mean, I don't know per se what they do, but I don't mind how frequently they put them out. I just wish they didn't take so long to download, like you said.
Yeah.
And doing just an update as opposed to like a brand new flash would probably, a flash of the firmware would probably help that.
Yeah, my opinion is basically based on what's in the update. I mean, if it's something that no one gives a shit about, why rush it out?
Yeah,
putting
I agree
out
with
something
that,
that everyone's gonna like a tangible thing, like, oh, that changes something. Like, okay, yes, there's a news ticker. I really don't want that right now. Like, it's not, it doesn't do anything for me right now. Why send that out right away? If it's nothing that you're gonna visually see or can make sense, like this is improved, I think they can wait on it. Especially when they're having problems, when they release one, then they release another one 2 weeks later to fix something the other one fucked up, and then I don't know. But I think yeah, they're kind of doing it a little bit too fast. Slow it down a little bit. Don't take us too long, like Microsoft's doing, like 2 a year. But you know, every couple months would be all right, I guess.
Kind of sounds like our release schedule at work, Chris.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
Anyway, moving along.
Yeah, well, yeah, fixing that Guitar Hero 3 on the Wii gonna be fixed up for all those people who bought the Wii and have those sad faces on their mug because their version of Guitar Hero 3 sucks balls.
And there's like a class action suit against them now. I don't know the details of it, but I saw it in passing, having to do with exactly that, about the mono sound.
I mean,
something about false advertising.
It says on the box Dolby Digital, and it's not. It's mono. How can you fuck that up? That's just you know, it's not even like they said stereo.
I don't get it.
Bad QA.
They are getting replacement discs in 2008 at no cost. So if you do have Guitar Hero 3 on Wii, I feel sorry for you, but you can take them in, and you can probably go on their website or whatnot. You'll be able to get a free disc sometime in 2008. So there you go. That's your good news for the Wii people out there. Yeah. Here's a little tidbit of information. When I read this, I got a little bit of wood.
Yeah, I figured you would.
My pants began to shrink quite a bit. At least it felt that way. But it looks like there's a God of War movie in the works.
Possibly.
Now,
it would be very cool. I would watch it.
Now I'm gonna
I would
read
definitely watch it.
I'm gonna read a little snippet here of Dave Jaffe, who is basically the father of God of War, and he basically had this to say. So I had a good lunch with the producer of the God of War movie a few weeks ago. Some big nose could be coming on the front seat, but nothing is set in stone yet. But yeah, the project is still alive and looking strong. But the funny part is, I was just sitting there kind of gushing over movies, what to go see, what was coming out, etc. Just being a fanboy. And the producer of the God of War flick, sorry, this is not him actually saying anything. The producer of the God of War flick and many other movies, including this summer's Get Smart, which looks really funny, was just so nonchalant about the whole thing. I mean, it's clear. Oh, I'm totally fucking this up. What the fuck is wrong with me? Seriously, don't let me do news ever again. But I was so nonchalant about the whole thing. I mean, it's clear he loves the movies, but it's also clear to him it's a great job, but it's still just a job. So what do you guys get from that? You think maybe he's... He's talking about this is Jaffe on the producer of... Well, the apparent producer of the God of War movie.
It's hard to not be skeptical.
I don't care. I just want a movie.
Yeah. See, the thing is, I don't want... If they're going to rush one out, if it's going to come out like next summer, I will see it, because, I mean, I have to. It's God of War. But I won't have my hopes for it at all. Not at all. But
I will watch it. I don't care.
Hold your breath.
Yeah, right. More Wii news. Proper the Rapper creators are making a Wii exclusive. That's right. Majesco is set to publish a new music game for Nintendo's Wii console. Cool. So it's not a Proper the Rapper sequel per se, but it's going to be music based most likely, and probably somewhat of a rhythm game. And it's
just
cool.
Just don't make another Boogie.
There we go. I wouldn't be surprised if it was exactly like that.
God, I hope not. No, they're pretty good. I mean, with Proper the Rapper and Umjammer Lammy, those were two pretty awesome games. So.
Yeah, I think those could be pretty good on the Wii if they did it right.
Yep.
It's always everything with the Wii is if or could or would. It's never will.
That could be a good game if they don't fuck it up.
Yeah, exactly. If not like the other 95% of the third party developers out there.
Yeah, if it's not more third party shit, it'll be good.
Yeah. It's the first party shit that people want that make everything quality. That's right. But hey. And first parties and PS3. You guys are all looking forward to that Little Big Planet demo to be coming out in 2007. You know, we heard about that a while ago. Beta. Everyone's all excited. It's going to be amazing. And
I know.
Not going to happen.
No.
That's right. Sony basically came out and said, we're not going to see a Little Big Planet beta demo or any sort in 2007. early 2008. Boo. I mean, boo. Hey, it sucks, but I think a lot of people might have saw this coming. I mean, we haven't heard much about the game.
I did, and to be honest with you, I'm not too upset about it because, I mean, this is something that's Little Big Planet is big for them, and I would much rather them see them do it right and have it out late. I am okay with that because it's better to be late with a good game than be early with a shitty game.
Exactly.
Just give me a little bit of something to tide me over. That's all.
A little demo would be cool.
It's like they can take a while to put it out. It's fine. Just give me a demo.
Yeah, you see it, the way they display it at like Tokyo Game Show and stuff like that, and it looks like it's done. I mean, they've got so much in it that, and you know, people are fooling around with the level designer, and
yeah,
it's like I want to do that.
Yeah, well, we got to wait a little bit longer. But I'm telling you, man, next year is going to be awesome for PS3, especially early next year if everything stays on schedule. For like the first 6 months, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be like November all over again, but just for the PS3.
Broke. I'm going to be broke again.
Half exactly. This is going to get pushed back, I'm sure. But
shut up, you. Hey, it will not.
I'm just preparing for the inevitable.
Yeah, it's the delay Station 3. We know it. It's going to happen. Anyway. Mm-hmm. Mass Effect. We're all playing it. We're all loving it. Apparently 1 million people around the world love it as well. It sold 1 million in its first 3 weeks of release.
Woo-hoo.
That's a shit money. It's really great for an IP. I mean, IPs are doing well this generation. You guys notice that?
Like, yeah, new IPs? Yeah, they are.
Oh, man. Like, we'll get onto MBTs later, but I mean, Assassin's Creed sold like almost over a million. I think it was over a million in the month of November for all the systems combined. That's ridiculous. That's so good. Good on them. Good on them. For all the developers out there making all these new IPs. Good stuff. People are loving their games.
Yeah.
More Guitar Hero 3 news. You guys with the PS3s who can't play your Rock Band with your superior Guitar Hero 3 guitars.
I'm that shaking my fist over the internet.
It is actually, not only was it made, it's done and submitted to Sony. But Harmonix is saying that Activision's blocking it, so none of you guys can get your hands on it. They don't want
Activision
you guys been playing the Rock Band with the Guitar Hero 3 controller.
Activision
Man,
suck.
We're having all kinds of fuck you stories this week.
Seriously,
yeah,
it's like,
kidding.
Hey, let's see how badly we can screw gamers this week.
Yeah.
Man. Thanks, Activision, fucking pricks.
Yeah, no kidding. I don't see, it's possible on 360, and why can't they just do it? Like, they're just being dicks. That's what it comes down to. It's not even like a legal issue or them. They're just
why would they not allow that? You know what?
Assets.
I will buy your shit if you let me put it on. I mean,
yeah,
come
seriously.
On.
It's like we need a second guitar, right?
Yeah, yeah. And like, realistically, the price of the guitar, and I'm not sure if you can buy it separately yet, even. I'm not even know
no,
if they're released.
No.
So basically,
enough.
You're getting Guitar Hero 3 anyway for these people who are going to buy your fucking guitar. And chances are they're going to like Guitar Hero 3. It's not a bad game. They're going to download your downloadable shit, too. So stop crying. Just let people use your guitar, which they want to use. They, you know.
I don't know about that whole downloading their downloadable shit, you know.
Well, I think that's what they're scared of. That's why. I think Activision's afraid that they'll buy their game and then just sit on in this, like. I think they're actually basically saying, you know what, people might like Rock Band better, and they're going to buy their downloadable stuff. You know what I mean? They're getting their money. Why should we let them use our product or their game when they're getting all the money? That's where I think could, you know, it's just like a little theory. Who knows? Because I don't see any other reason why they would try to block this.
Because they're dicks.
Oh, yeah. Unless they just want to be assholes. Sitting around, you know, like, fuck, let's be big dicks today. Let's just really piss people off. Yeah, we're not going to let them use our guitar.
I
yeah,
could see them all
yeah,
sitting around a press conference
table
saying
play
that
Rock
shit.
Band. Yeah.
Jeff, we hire you back. That was funny.
Thanks, guys.
You got it.
Yay.
Okay, you can be on the podcast.
And you can do the news. Okay.
All right, awesome. PSP news and PS3 news. Echo Chrome, that little game supposed to be coming out this next year, is it not? Well, early next year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have a level editor. For
nice.
All you crazy people out there who like to create your own stuff and actually use that thing called imagination.
Uh-huh.
You kind of lose that when you get older. I'm creative as, I don't know.
Are you guys are you guys excited about this game at all?
I haven't heard anything about it. Tell me.
Echo
Sell
Chrome?
Me on it. Yeah.
Oh, it's okay. It's a very, very simple game, but like graphically, but it's a puzzle game where there's a little dude walking around on like it's really hard to explain over like a radio or whatever. But and it's like, put it to you this way. Think of it as like, think of Crush, right?
All right.
And you know, Crush, you crush the world and you can get to different areas and then you uncrush it. Echo Chrome is the same level design, sort of. It's like it's 3D level, and you can move them around. But you move the camera in such a way that, like, say there's a gap in a floor. If you move the camera in such a way that there might be a pole that's blocking your view of that gap, then that gap no longer exists, and he'll walk across it.
Funky. Okay, cool.
Yeah, it's really cool, but it's a really neat idea, and I'm pretty excited about it. I'm looking forward to it. So, and the fact that they're putting in a level editor, I'm hoping that they do something with Echochrome like they're doing with Little Big Planet, where you can share your levels and that kind of thing. I think that would be awesome.
Yeah, and if it's put in good hands. I mean, that's my biggest worry with the Little Big Planet, too. I mean, if it sounds really cool, but if you have, like, some 14-year-old who, you know, has, like, no attention span, just throws a bunch of shit and blocks in a level and uploads it, and that's not going to be fun.
Yeah, if you don't know what you're getting.
That's why you put a rating system on it, and then,
exactly.
You know, if it's the lowest-rated piece of crap, I'm just going to download it, you know?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Like, look, I made boobs in my level.
Before we get to, I'd download that shit.
Yeah, I would.
Of course you would.
I'm juvenile like that. Before we get to the MPD numbers, that's right, MPD numbers were released today, and we know how much you guys love those. That's right. It's the be-all, end-all of this hardware sales and software sales across the world. Well, not really the world. North America, but hey.
The world! That is North America.
Exactly. And they're not exactly that accurate, because not every single retail chain is in here. But we like to pretend, and we all like to have little fanboy debates on the internet, and without these numbers, we'd really have nothing, no backing on our arguments, so hey. Mm-hmm. So before we get to that, I'm going to get to our new Gives a Shit story of the week, because this is wild earth. African safari, heads of the week.
Yes.
Guys, come on, guys.
I'm going to shoot my ass some wildebeests.
That's right.
Oh, yes. Stuff. Take them pictures.
So, oh, yeah. Wait. So what is this game?
What do you mean pictures? You get to shoot them, right?
Yes, no. You shoot them with a camera.
You shoot them dead.
No, it's Pokemon
Snap. I saw a screenshot.
Snap.
There's a dead wildebeest.
No, it's Pokemon. Yeah, because lions
really
are eating
what?
Light.
Well, fuck this game.
It's...
I don't want this shit.
No,
you're right. This
exactly.
is the who gives a shit story. Damn it.
That's right. And I don't care. Like, the Africans, are they trying to
kill
beat,
me
like,
some
somebody that punch? That's Africa? Africa looks cool. This game just, it's...
Yeah, and it's on the Wii, so, you know, yeah, graphically, it's...
Oh, it's going to look awesome.
It's
going to be realistic. It's
oh,
be
yeah.
They're going to fuck, man. Like, yeah. Crazy.
Is there, like, a bullet mode or anything? I mean...
No. Not that
whoa,
I...
Whoa!
All they,
snapping
oh,
a
sorry,
picture,
guys,
you shoot
at
a bullet?
A bullet? What?
Two girls...
So I just look at a picture, and it's so realistic, I think the line's going to jump out of my screen.
Okay, now you're full of shit, so let's move
on. Yeah, that's our Who Gives a Shit story. So now we're on to MPD numbers. Yeah, this is good stuff. Sweet. Alrighty. So here
really,
are they.
Really quick.
November 2007, hardware sales. Let's go and run by really quick. PS2 was... See, this is no order. Actually, you know what? I'll try to put this in order. Nintendo DS. 1.5 million DSs sold in the month of November.
Nuts.
Ridiculous.
Absolutely
Wii,
nuts.
Yeah. Wii just under a million with 981,000.
Oh, but we're having production shortages.
A shortage. What
yeah,
fuck?
Funny. Weird
fuck
how we had
Nintendo.
Only, what, 500,000 last month, and all of a sudden we can rack out almost another 500,000? Yeah, Nintendo. Let's be dicks. Xbox 360 was behind the Wii with 770,000. A little bit behind that was actually the PSP with 567,000. Way to go.
That's pretty
good. PS2 was right behind the PSP with 496,000. Still selling like crazy. All those grandmas out there who don't have a PS2. and the PS3 was in last, but still greatly improved over last month with 466,000.
That's
considering
that's
they had 121,000 last month. That's a huge jump.
That's a great number. I don't care what anybody says. Yes, it is still last place, but I mean that's a good number to have for Sony.
It's a
good
They're moving on up.
Moving sort of. On up.
For games, really quick, the number one seller in November was Call of Duty 4 with 1,570,000. Wow. Outselling Mario Galaxy with 1,120,000.
Which surprises me, actually, that it outsold Mario Galaxy.
It doesn't surprise me. There's,
really?
Just because, I mean, I think a lot of people who own the 360s and PS3s out there are more into the first-person shooters and the realistic, you know, all those people down south who love war.
Hey, wait a minute.
That's a Call of Duty 4 for you. That's why it sold Mario. Give Mario a machine gun, throw him in a desert with a couple hand grenades.
Oh, should I buy that?
Well, shoot me some turtles. Bring it, Bowser.
Assassin's Creed on the 360 sold 980,000, which is a hell of a lot for a new IP. That combined with the PS3 version, which is actually 10th on the list with 377,000, is over 1 million. That's, like, again, new IPs are doing well. Guitar Hero 3 on PS2, 967. We Play with Remote, People Are Still Retarded, 564,000. I guess you get a free...
Why, I have to ask this. Why is that retarded?
I just think it's retarded. Well, I guess not, because it is free, because the remote's, I guess, the same price, right?
You're paying $10 for a collection of minigames.
Yeah, basically. But you know what, though? I honestly think a lot of people who are buying this game like it. Like, when I hear, like, my parents bought a Wii, and I hear them say, oh, we got this cool game where you can fish for, like, these rubber ducky things, and you kind of put your... It's so awesome, it's just unbelievable. And I'm sitting there trying not to, like, choke on my chicken leg or something like that. And just, I think a lot of people buy this,
choke
actually.
Choke your chicken, what?
Yes, that too. I usually don't do that with my parents around. You're sick. You're sick.
You said it. That's what it sounded like.
Okay, Mass Effect. 360, obviously, 273,000. Which is kind of weird, because that... they said they've gotten... When did Mass Effect come out?
It came out in November, I believe, right?
Was it end of November?
Yeah,
I guess it must have been. Because if they're saying it sold over a million in 3 weeks, and it's 473...
Well, that was a worldwide number, I believe.
Oh, worldwide. Yeah, that's true, too. Good point. Call of Duty 4 PS3, 444,000. Very good for the PS3. Good stuff. Guitar Hero 3 for the Wii, 426,000. That's 426,000 people who are going to be very pissed off.
Playing in mono...
Halo 3 is actually number 9 at 387,000. That one surprised me the most, because I figured it would be a lot more than that, considering there was almost 800,000 360 sold. But hey, guess not too many people are feeling the Halo this year.
I guess not.
Yeah. Who didn't buy it day one.
Right.
And that's your news.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you, Jeff.
No problem.
All right. Well, why don't we take a quick break? What do we got when we come back? When we come back, we have another Dear X. We haven't had one since the one that I did in episode 2, so this will be fun. Followed by how do we feel about arcades? Are arcades dead? We'll talk about that a little bit, and then user email, question of the week, and new releases. So we're gonna take a break, and we'll be right back. So stay with us.
Hadouken.
This week's episode of the Interactive Distractions Podcast is sponsored by PocketOtaku.com. Rock the chibi.
Time once again for...
Nice hooters.
Pig?
Lord Khan, Sexual Harassment Theater.
So, Striker, they say you're here to file a sexual harassment complaint?
Yes. Don't seem so surprised.
All right, who's been sexually harassing you?
Lots and lots of women. Here in Miniopia.
All right, what did they do?
There's looks.
There's looks.
There's looks.
There's looks. From women.
One of them called me... Baldy?
How is that sexual harassment, Striker?
Hello, the word ball is right in it. Oh, and this one time at the company, dude picked up the phone and paged through the whole office. Something about the size of my... package.
What?
She said, Striker, you got a large package up front.
I mean,
everybody left.
Did you have a large package up front?
Oh, I see. Now you're harassing me. I think I want to see your boss.
Tune in next time for another edition of Lord Khan's Sexual Harassment Theater.
And welcome back. Thanks for sticking around. I'm going to pass the show off on to Jason right now, because he has a Dear X for us. And Jason, who's your Dear X to?
Spike TV.
Nice.
As you guys are aware, they just had a video game award show.
Oh, is that was awesome. What you call that?
Yeah.
I was wondering what that was.
I mean, in theory, that was the name, but anyway. This is my letter. Dear Mr. Spike TV, you're ugly. You're ugly and your mother dresses you funny. What? No effect? You're a poo-poo head. Better? No? I'm sorry. I thought we had a little game going on here. You insult me, I insult you back, but all on a grade school level. Wait, you weren't playing? Oh, shit, I'm sorry. See, I just thought for a minute that your VGA show was some crazy sketch comedy poking fun at what you perceive to be the lowest common fucking denominator in gamer culture. Drooling, prepubescent 13-year-old retards that jerk off to the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue while thinking that fat guy jokes from a fat guy are the funniest fucking things since lighting your farts on fire.
They got me.
I mean, if that's not the case, and you really were trying to award and give recognition to the gems of the video game industry, then I apologize. My bad. But if that truly is, was your intent, we've got to have a talk. I just get the feeling that maybe your heart wasn't in it, that the focus wasn't really on video games. Now, I'm not saying that you're not really passionate about video games. Maybe you sit on your couch at night, poning noobs in Halo, while stark naked, save for the Cheeto stains around your dick. Far be it from me to judge. But if someone were to tell me that they were going to hold an award ceremony to honor the creative, hardworking, and talented individuals that produced these enthralling pieces of entertainment, Samuel motherfucking Jackson does not have a place in my grand vision. I mean, sure, I'm often curious as to what the old guy's up to, what movies or TV shows he's currently sponsoring, I mean, acting in, and I'm certainly appreciative of the fact that the answer to all of my Samuel motherfucking Jackson inquiries were so helpfully shoved down my throat. Thanks for that. Really. You know, I'm probably being a little too idealistic. We're talking about an industry that embraces the virtual slaughtering of hookers as viable forms of entertainment. And it is. I mean, the bitch certainly wasn't worth the $20. She used her teeth and likely gave me herpes. I want my fucking money back. But you can't really do that shit in the real world, can you? Right. But for an award show, let's be serious about it and at least attempt to keep it about the games. Come on, Kid Rock? What does he have to do with anything? The fat guy with bitch tits bigger than my third grade teacher? Who the fuck is that guy? Once again, you've neglected the responsibility of being the one major televised award ceremony for video games and turned it into something not unlike the Macy's Day Thanksgiving Day Parade. You've been at this for, what, 4 years now? I guess I shouldn't expect anything less. My original intent with this letter was to offer up some suggestions on how to improve the show or maybe attempt to repair the damaged relationship between your network and gamers overall. But the only thing I can really advise is just stop. Quit it. That's enough. Anyway, thanks for reading. Sincerely, me.
That was awesome.
That was awesome. I love it.
Oh, man. I had to hit mute so many times my mic because I was just about to lose it.
I made the unfortunate decision to watch it again right before the podcast, and it just pissed me off even more. And I originally wanted to take a very serious approach to this because, you know, it does piss me off that, you know, they just make a mockery of the whole industry, and it's just a big commercial.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
I think the presentation of it. No, so go ahead.
Yeah. The one thing that really, really pissed me off is the Gamecock assholes. Did you guys see that at the very end?
Yeah. When I heard about that. I didn't see it.
It's
about
Ken Levine. Like, who are you?
What the fuck? And then they actually... Spike TV, like, ushered him off the stage so he couldn't even get an opportunity to talk. It's not like it's a fucking live show.
Yeah.
You know? Why don't they just give him the opportunity to talk? Maybe cut out the big fat ass with the big bitch tits or something to give Kevin Levine the opportunity to talk about the game that just won Game of the Year for them.
Yeah.
Like, oh.
That's like friggin' if the Oscars were ever to take the movie, you know, the movie of the year, and now that the director speak at all. You know, it's like...
It's like, oh, we got time constraints. I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry. Super we showed our naked girl with the BioShock shit on it. That's what people want to see, so you can go now. Well, that's for those who didn't watch it. They didn't have envelopes this show. They had basically naked girls, which are attractive to look at, painted up in like a theme of whatever the winning game was. Which, I mean, is cool, but I mean, it's still exactly like Jay's letter said. It's kind of the lowest common denominator who's going to want, like, okay, you know what? Video game fans is what they're all about. This is what they want to see. I mean, that's not video game fans. That's men. That's guys in general.
That is men. And this is, yeah, the network for men or whatever, but...
Yeah, but that doesn't mean, like, you know, take it seriously. I have to admit, in terms of their games that they had nominated, they're much improved since the last couple of years, for sure.
True.
Just the presentation just blew chunks. It is just terrible. Besides a few skits they had in between were really funny, like the ones where they had, I don't know if you saw the one with the different kinds of gamer and stuff like that.
That was actually pretty good.
Laughing pretty loud. That was pretty funny and very realistic. But other than that, and some of the things they had, like when they're like, okay, and here's best, you know, single sports game and whatnot, then they go into like a little skit. Those are all really good. But the actual
sports one was pretty good when you like chopped that dude's head off.
Head off, yeah. I thought that was funny. But overall, it was just.
My favorite category was the most addictive game sponsored by Mountain Dew.
Oh, that was.
They've had
that
such
a bullshit category, and they said it was the popular vote one. And what was on there? It was Guitar Hero 3, Team Fortress 2, and Wii Sports. And
Halo 3.
Yeah.
It's like,
any wonder that Halo 3 won and it was being sponsored by Mountain Dew?
This is where I have to say something, is because that category has been on, I'm pretty sure, every year. The sport powered by Mountain Dew or best.
Something like that. They had a driving one sponsored by Pontiac in one of the first couple of shows. Anyway.
But I'm pretty sure they've always had the Mountain Dew one, which is the addictive one, whatever. And I think it's just getting a lot of flack this year because they happened to sponsor Halo 3 and it won. Obviously, that's probably, it was voted by people. I'm sure the people probably voted too. Not saying it's deserving of it or not, but I think a lot of people are kind of like quick to pull the trigger and be like, oh, Halo 3 only won only because it was the Mountain Dew and whatever. But it's not the first time Mountain Dew has sponsored a game category on the show. So it's not. But, you know, coincidentally, yes, it did win and they did sponsor them. So, just saying, just throwing that out there.
Mighty big coincidence that there was a Halo 3 drink made by Mountain Dew as well.
Yeah.
I also found I also think there's a huge problem with the fact that Mario Galaxy wasn't even considered for Game of the Year.
What's up, Uncharted?
Come on, dude, I know.
Well, Uncharted 2, but I wasn't gonna say that because I mean, I honestly think that Super Mario Galaxy is a Game of the Year candidate over. For the major gaming populace over Uncharted.
It is.
And the fact that it wasn't even nominated. I mean, I can see Uncharted not being nominated. It may be, it may end up being my Game of the Year personally, but I can see it not being nominated for Game of the Year. Mario Galaxy? Sorry, I can't see it. I cannot take this show seriously at all because the highest rated game ever, is not in the Game of the Year category, and that is retarded.
Agreed. Does anyone know who does the voting for the Spike Awards?
No, I don't.
Because I was listening to one of the other podcasts, the VGO podcast, Video Game Outsiders, and they were saying that they were pretty sure it was done, actually, by the media. So if that's true, that means like other sites and stuff and mags put in their 2 cents, which is still disappointing and also hard to believe that they would not put Mario Galaxy in there.
No.
So I'm not sure if that's true. I don't take it as fact, guys, because I don't know if it is. Because their podcast is actually similar to ours, just three people talking about games, not in the industry and whatnot. But I mean, who knows? But I'd like to know who the hell does it, because some of them, like, but they did have better category, better game suited than like last year, year before. I mean, BioShock is arguably the Game of the Year. A lot of people could argue it is or isn't. But at least they were somewhat competent in what they chose, or at least what was nominated, minus, of course, the omission of Mario Galaxy and, to some extent, Uncharted.
You know what's the fucking advertising intern named Bruce from down the hall that's actually doing all this shit?
Yeah, exactly.
So Bruce, what do you think? Dude, Mass Effect game's awesome.
Yeah, we're gonna run a Mass Effect commercial. It's going to run once every time there's a commercial break, which it literally almost did. I remember seeing the Mass Effect commercial almost every commercial break, along with the Uncharted one. And
it was the Burger King for me.
The Burger. Oh, dude, that commercial was hilarious.
It was good though.
Is that the Burger Queen one?
Yeah, that part's funny when the guy's like, "It should be called Burger Queen." And the guy paused. It's like he's taking a second for it to register. Then, yeah, that's awesome.
Needs a medium.
The best part about the show was a commercial. Yeah, the medium. I need a medium bag of chips.
nobody gets that but us.
I know. It's bad.
Medium bag. But yeah, hey, you know what? Maybe they'll improve.
No, they won't.
They won't.
I'm actually hoping they take my advice and just give it the fuck up. Stop trying. Come on.
Hopefully the president of Spike gets a letter and, you know, says, you know what, this Jason guy knows what he's talking about.
You're damn right.
Like, you know what, let's bring
judge shit with Bruce.
Crap. Yeah, yeah. Hey, man. I heard Bruce is a nice guy when you give him a few beers.
He's going to be like, no, we suck, man.
Yeah. See, the sad part is when he has those few beers, that's when he does the nominations.
Well, that was
good for them.
That was a good letter, Jason. That was
awesome.
Funny.
That was good.
Came right from in here. I'm pointing to my heart over the radio.
Yeah, I can tell. I can see it.
Right from the, I'm glad I let that out. I feel a lot better now.
I get aired it out all over the world. Mm-hmm. Or worldwide listeners out there can all feel. I felt
all 8 of them.
That's right. Hey, there's one in every country. So we're still missing. How many?
Well, moving on. Did you guys? You guys saw that Street Fighter 4 was announced, right?
Hell yeah!
Yeah. It looks. I'm still up in the air. I mean, it's. I think it looks great, but it's like there's a lot of. There's a lot of people out there being super critical about the screenshots they released so far, but
I'm kind of
self-included.
Yeah. I mean, I think it looks good, and I think it's one of those games that's going to be it's one of those things where screenshots are not going to do it any justice, and it's going to be one of those things that when it's in motion, it's just going to be incredible.
Yeah,
I'm hoping so.
But what's getting me the most is you know they're talking about how it's going straight to arcades, and then you know no one knows if you know when consoles are going to see it.
Yeah.
And in reality, I got to think.
Who the fuck's going to play this?
When was the last time I was at an arcade to play games? You know? I mean, when was the last time you guys went to an arcade?
I was actually in Niagara Falls almost a year ago. And we went to an arcade there. It was like kind of like a Midway type thing. And I got to say, we went in there. It was kind of like nostalgic. They had all these games. But the thing was, all these games were old games that I played years ago.
Yeah.
And it was fun. But no one was in there. Hardly anybody.
Yeah,
last weekend actually we went to what the hell did we do, Chris?
I forgot the name of the place.
Laser tag. I forgot, but no, they had a bunch of stand ups in there and
yeah, talk about old stuff. I mean, they had a stand up of Tekken 2.
They had like, SVC Chaos though.
What's that?
I had to show Lisa. They had SVC Chaos.
Yeah, that's
Capcom.
True.
They had that back, but it was all tore up and shit. It was still working, but
and they still had like. They still have one of the DDRs that had come out on PS1.
Yeah.
Which
you always see some kind of like Asian kid who's like 7 going like a million miles a second doing backflips. Maybe that's just the DDRs in my area.
I don't know. I mean, with the way that consoles are nowadays, I just don't know if arcades are even
relevant.
Are they even necessary anymore? I mean, really. I'm sure they're popular in Japan still.
Right.
Yeah.
But for the longest time, I mean, the arcade was the place to get this sort of stuff. You know,
it was
cutting edge. You know, like when the home console started coming out, it still couldn't hold a candle to anything that was in the arcade.
I know.
And it was like that for a very, very long time. And probably in the last 10, 15 years is when we saw that shift to, you know, the consoles keeping up with the hardware that's in the arcade. The thing now is that. You know, the home console market is actually surpassing things that we're finding in the arcade.
Because companies are making the hardware a pissing contest of who could have more power.
Yeah, right. And it would be too much money to develop a game like that for the arcades when you can't charge somebody a quarter or like a dollar.
Mm-hmm. Right, and see, that's the other thing that I think is really having an effect is the price of an arcade game. I mean, it's like, how much are they going to charge for people to play Street Fighter 4?
Exactly.
It's going to be like a dollar to play to play one game, and
at first, to kind of recoup the cost, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think Street Fighter 4 is going to go worldwide. You're not going to be able to see it in all arcades. It's going to be I mean, you're going to see it in Sunnyvale for sure, out in California.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's right by Capcom.
Yeah.
You know, there's probably about 3 or 4 different major Street Fighter hubs across the U.S. You know, and each of those places are probably going to get about 5 to 10 machines. I don't know. It's going to be. The way that I look at that is kind of like a test market of sorts. Mm-hmm. I mean, Street Fighter is always going to have its roots in the arcade. I mean, that's just how they do shit.
Yeah.
That's where it starts out.
They could be trying to do, because when you think about it, Street Fighter 2 kind of revitalized the arcade back in, was it 90, 92? When did Street Fighter come out?
92, I think, yeah.
I think it was 92.
That was like the, it basically revitalized arcades. I remember playing the odd arcade game here and there, like Rampage and NARC and all those games. And the first time I played Street Fighter, I was like, oh, shit, man. And me and my friends would go to the local, actually, it was actually a convenience store, not necessarily an arcade, but they had a Street Fighter 2 cabinet there. And we'd spend hours there, like, just playing it. And I remember back in those days, like, right now, we look forward to games that we see a press release for. Like, ah, this game's coming out. Here's some screenshots. Here's a teaser trailer. And you're like, ah, this game's awesome. Like, it looks amazing. And from that point to when it's released, you really have no clue what the game's going to be like. And you're really just looking forward to just getting your hand on the final product, seeing what the game's like. Could be a huge disappointment. One thing I really, really miss is playing that arcade game, being like, this game is amazing, and then finding out, like, in a mag, like, a couple months later, oh, it's being ported to Sega Genesis and Super Nintendo, and then you're like, oh, this is awesome. Like, not only playing the shitload of this game in the arcade, you can't wait to get it at home, just play it at your home, and still play the shit out of it months later. And you kind of know
even if it's not up to snuff to what the arcade is.
Like, Street Fighter 2 was amazing on the Super Nintendo. I didn't have a Super Nintendo at the time, and I was so jealous when a friend of mine got it. And I was like, oh man! And we played it for hours, and it wasn't the frame rate wasn't as good. Pardon me, and they had to cut some things. Like, of course, the graphics weren't arcade perfect, but I mean, I don't know. Just those days I just miss of just looking forward to playing. Like, Pit Fighter was a terrible game, and I liked it for some reason. And when I heard it was coming out for Sega Genesis, I was like, oh yeah, Pit Fighter! And I remember getting that game, and I loved it. I was like, wow. I'm not sure if it was because we're getting older.
Jeff, you're fired again. You know what? One of the things that I'm noticing about arcades now, though, is that whenever I go to the arcade, it seems like all they have is
big stand-up machines.
Yeah.
Right, well, it's not just that. I'm more thinking about more genres in general. I mean, they have fighting games, mm-hmm. they have
racing,
shooting games, they have racing games, and they have games where you jump up on the pad and do stuff, where like the snowboarding ones and the skating ones and DDR, right? And you know, the days of the old classic action games that were in the arcades, like Golden Axe, like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the arcade game. What's another one? Final Fight was in the arcade at one point. Ninja Gaiden was in the arcade. Yep. I mean, all those are gone, and we don't see anything like those anymore. And it's one of those things that, you know, I think there's a market out there for people who want to go to the arcade and play games like that.
Well, what they need to do is they need to change up the entire. They have to basically do what Nintendo did for home consoles to the arcade, is give gamers an experience they can only get in the arcade. They tried to do that, which is actually right around the downfall of arcades when they tried to bring the whole virtual reality thing into, like, bring that in, make that popular, and that kind of tanked big time. Yeah. But a game kind of recently, like the Super Scope series, I always see when I, like, the rare times I did go to an arcade, there's always somebody playing that, and that's something you cannot play at home. Like, they came out on home consoles, but you didn't have that big rifle with the
scope. Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I mean, if they somehow changed it and got games like where it's a different experience, I see it might get people back in there. But I think kids nowadays, especially, I think we just look back at all the nostalgia and be like, in the good old days, man, we used to go to the arcades. And
when shit only cost a quarter.
Yeah, exactly. At most, 50 cents a start, one to continue. Remember those days. Mm-hmm. But now kids don't care about going out, man. They're all on their computers and they're designing their own web pages when they're 6 years old. And, you know, I don't know. It was kind of like a social thing, I guess, when we were younger.
One of the other things that I think is that I like to see in the arcade that's different is, like, have you seen the, you know, there's, we always see shooting games, right? Like Time Crisis and, you know, House of the Dead and stuff like that. But they have that, Konami made that Police 911, I think it's called.
Oh, yeah.
It does the whole thing with the sensors that are around the arcade, and you actually duck behind cover yourself. And then jump up and fire and then get behind cover. And I think that's a really cool idea. And it's, you know, that's something that you can only get in the arcade right now. The only problem is that I don't think all the technology is where it needs to be for that type of game. Because, the visuals aren't, you know, amazing. And the screen is small because, you know, I don't know if it's because of, you know, the amount of information they have to push or what. But, I mean, I think that's a really good idea, and it's something to look into, but I don't think that the technology is up to snuff just yet.
No, definitely not. I don't think it will be. I don't think that William's willing to put the effort in right nowadays anyway. Arcades closed down everywhere. The first time I think I really realized that it's got to the point where home consoles are just blowing the arcade out of the water is when Dreamcast came out and when Soul Calibur was released, like, day one.
Yeah.
A million times better than the arcade version. I was like, wow. This is,
yeah, because even like, in PS2, and or, I'm sorry, PS1 and Saturn days, it was getting really, really, really close, but it still wasn't quite there as far as like arcade perfectness. I know that the Saturn did some Capcom fighting games that were done really well in Japan.
Yeah,
Look at like Virtua Fighter 2. That was an extremely faithful port on the Saturn.
Yeah. Was it?
That was really good. Oh yeah.
I don't even remember it. I'd have to go back, but
it's very good. And like the Capcom fighters were basically arcade perfect, except for loading times, because of course getting all the information from a CD.
And right, like the ones that were available in just Japan that came out on Saturn were
X-Men versus Street Fighter.
Yeah, awesome. X-Men versus Street Fighter was just fantastic.
Well, with the 96 meg card.
Yeah. I imported that
extra RAM cart to.
Yeah, it was a 5 meg RAM cart.
Was it 5 meg? I thought it was like.
I think it was only 4 or 5. Yeah,
I don't know.
It's 4 or 5 meg RAM cart.
I remember that first and only game I ever imported.
Yeah, and you know, Capcom wasn't the first to do that because the guys over at SNK were doing that with their Neo Geo games. They had a 1 meg RAM cart that they used for things like King of Fighters and stuff like that came over in Japan. More stuff that never came here.
Yeah, but they get all the good TV stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
So why are arcades more popular in Japan than in the U.S.? Because they're certainly still thriving over there, from what I understand.
I think it's a culture thing. I mean, it's just like Jeff said a few minutes ago. You go into an arcade and you see a DDR machine, and there's some Japanese guy on it just going nuts, and I think that's kind of the way arcades are going over there. I mean, I don't know for sure. I've never been to Japan, but I would think it would.
It might have something to do with, I don't know how. As far as my understanding is that online gaming hasn't really picked up in Japan. I'm not sure if that's because of access to it or whatnot or pricing or anything, but a lot of the games that are still popular there are usually the fighting games, like it's the Virtual Fighter series, the Tekken series, Soul Calibur, those stuff. And then, of course, there's always one like DDR. And I think there's like a lot of tournament play, and I think they just like the competition of having somebody like right there next to you. And I think I think a lot of the gamers there don't have the opportunity, or they just don't like playing online. I don't know, maybe that has something to do with it. But from, I don't know, just like stuff that I've seen or heard, that's what I get from it, is more like either they really like to have the competition with somebody like there, but even though that doesn't really make sense, because apparently all their Virtual Fighter machines are all hooked up through fiber optics, so it's basically like playing online, but you're in an arcade.
Yeah, true.
So that kind of just shoots my argument in the foot, so I'm just going to shut the hell up.
No, it's still the experience of being there.
They like to be able to sit down. No, seriously, a lot of the machines out there, it comes with a seat built in. You can sit down.
Oh, well.
I would appreciate that.
True. I don't know, maybe just that.
These are the jokes, people. Gotta laugh, come on.
Oh, hey. Is that what that was? Oh, okay, sorry.
Fuck off.
It's hard to judge over there, man. I mean, they have panties and vending machines, so,
They made a game on DS about touching 13-year-old girls to find out if
David
they're witches.
That.
I know he did. I know he did. We have a friend that actually imported that game.
Are you serious?
Yes.
The feds have been alerted.
I was going to say... I don't know. I just think you guys think it's a good move for Capcom. I think they're just doing it maybe just to see what happens, test the waters. But realistically, the translation coming to home are going to be identical. And
honestly,
if it doesn't take off in like a month, it's going to be really quick to home consoles.
Honestly, I think that it's possible that Street Fighter IV is actually going to be Street Fighter IV going to arcades is going to be good for arcades.
I'm not going to lie to you. If once it's out, I will go to some of the bigger arcades that I know of where they are, and I will check it out to see if they have it, because I'm a huge Street Fighter fan. and I want to play this game. So it'll be interesting for sure. I mean,
and I'm sure that there's other people out there too. And it's that's one of the things that, I think Capcom is doing right is that they don't release a new Street Fighter, like a new numbered Street Fighter in the series, like every other year. You know,
yeah.
I mean, it's like Tekken, which didn't come out, you know, the original Tekken didn't come out until what, like 93, 94, something like that?
Yeah.
And they're up to, Tekken 6 is coming out soon. I mean, the original Street Fighter came out in the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And then now they're going to Street Fighter 4, and, you know, when Capcom brings out a new Street Fighter, it's a big event.
And it's going to come down to basically the popularity of Street Fighter, because I don't know, I remember downloading the one for Xbox Live and playing some people on there like, this game sucks. How do you throw the fireballs? I'm like, you don't know how to throw a fireball? That's blasphemy. Why are you playing this game? And because you know, they don't know what Street Fighter is, because I don't know because it took so long or fighting games just kind of dropped off the face of the planet. But I just hope that all the people like us and people we know that still love Street Fighter will go give it a chance in the arcades, because they could be onto something. It'll be interesting for sure.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to go check it out.
Oh, I will for sure. If there's people there, I hope there's, you know, like 8 people crowd around putting their quarter up on the or dollar, whatever it's going to be. I'm going to be there, and I think it'll be fun.
And if it's a dollar, I might only play it once.
I love that whole experience.
I'll play, exactly. And the whole thing being like, if I actually really like the game, having the experience of, oh my god, I'm going to be able to play this on consoles a couple months down the road, I'm just going to be like, yeah, it's going to be like being a kid again.
Glee!
Exactly.
I know arcades were the shit, man. Because I remember probably, 10 years ago, you know, the central hub, and I was living up in Wisconsin at that time, but, you know, the main hangout was, there's a couple arcades in the area, and we'd go and we'd hang out there, and they had all kinds of Street Fighter machines and whatnot. And that was our scene, you know. That's where we went to go hang out and hook up.
Yeah.
And it was just part of what we did. And I'm sad to see that gone, you know.
Yeah.
You can't really find a solely dedicated like arcade.
No, it's not cost effective to do that anymore around here.
It's not.
I remember it's
all stand up shit. That's all that you're really gonna find. Yeah. You're gonna find, you know, skee ball machines. You're gonna find your Virtua Cop series, House of the Dead, all your DDR machines. You're not gonna find too many old coin ops. If you do, they're back in the corner and they're getting dusty. You know, they've got all their big machines, stuff that you can't do at home. Up front, in center.
Track also to the back with cigarette burns all over the panels.
Hopefully.
I just remember when I was in high school and we had an arcade near us called Diversions, and that, you know, it was in the same shopping center as the game store that I worked at during college. And about halfway through the PlayStation 1 generation, the thing just had no business, and they ended up closing down.
Yeah.
You know, and that was about the time when all those arcade games that I was talking about, like Ninja Turtles Arcade and that type of action game, that they just stopped making those kind of games. And, you know, I mean, all it was fighting games and gun games and racing games. So
yeah. Something I have to touch on before we go too long here is the whole arcade kind of etiquette kind of thing seemed to catch on in some places more than others. But I did notice, okay, you guys are, you're Georgia, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure if you guys, well, let me just tell my story. But back in the day with like games like Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat, it was kind of etiquette. There's a couple of things of etiquette. Number one was no throwing. If you threw somebody, let them throw you back. Did you guys do that? Okay.
Not necessarily in the arcade, but, when I was the game store I was talking about, we actually had I had a regular customer that came in often, and we would play fighting games all the time, and he would actually do like a fighting game night at his house on Saturdays.
Yeah.
And you know, I'd go over there, his name was Cam, went over there and we'd play, and we had a great time with it. And we had the throwing rule: if you threw, then you just stand there and you run over, and there you let him throw back.
Yeah We had that. We also had the mercy rule, which is basically if you kick someone's ass the first round, you let them win the second round. And then
Have that.
Yes. So this is what's funny is because you guys didn't have that. A couple of my friends at Xbox Live from Texas didn't have that. But the funny part is Mortal Kombat 2 threw in mercy rounds because of that. Like the actual, remember that you actually have a mercy round in Mortal Kombat 2? Or was it 3 that threw in the mercy?
I think it might have been 3.
I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, and in Mortal Kombat 2 or 3, there's actually a mercy thing where you can actually put in a code. So you don't want to do the fatality. You put in something else, it goes mercy. It gives the character actually a little bit more energy, and they get to keep fighting. Yeah. So,
I remember that. Yeah.
But what was kind of cool is when I would go, my family would take vacations. A little bit downside, like the Myrtle Beach was an area that we went to a couple times when I was younger, and there's arcades everywhere. And I remember I see an arcade, and my eyes would just get like, huge. I'd go in there, and first thing I'd do is right away find a Street Fighter cabinet or a Mortal Kombat cabinet, whichever one, and whichever one is popular at the time. And just it was just like a kind of thing everyone got around. There's like kind of like a respect for everyone if they were good. It was kind of like playing pickup basketball these days, where you show up and the people don't know you. You kind of get no respect. But the second you do something dirty or get someone's attention, like, oh, okay, they start giving you respect or whatever.
Yep.
But it was kind of cool that these other guys knew, like, if I was, you know, if I, like, threw somebody, I'd stand there, like, throw me back. Or the same kind of thing. If I threw someone by accident, which happens in Street Fighter, they'd stand there, let me throw them back. It was just kind of cool to know that here I am in Toronto where all this is going down, and then I'm in, you know, South Carolina, and the same people are doing the same kind of things. And that's something that I really miss, too, that is kind of like a, I don't know, it's kind of like a community that, and there was no internet around this time. Like, there was, but no one ever used it for kind of things like this. So, how, like, word of mouth or what happened, it was just kind of just awesome.
Canadians are just too fucking nice, man.
That could be it, too. Like, fuck, I can't dress the first round.
Throws to us were just a cheap thing, you know. If you wanted to be an asshole, you'd throw.
Oh, with Chun-Li.
But you were not expected to just hang out and let the other guy throw you. No, it didn't happen that way.
Really?
If he was really being an asshole, you'd just take guile afterwards and jab throw him.
Oh, God, yeah.
Just be done with it. So.
Push all the
I've seen fights in arcades.
Oh, dude, yeah. I've seen... Me and my close friend of mine used to almost get in fist fights in arcades. Just... I mean, one time I felt so bad because we were playing Street Fighter, and we were playing, he was, like, beating me, and we're so competitive. And he was just cheating me out with, it was like Chun-Li or Guile, I don't know who it was. So I actually shoved him, but what I didn't realize was there was like a 4-year-old kid right beside him that I didn't even see. The kid went flying right at a convenience store, bumped into like a big like tower of like Mountain Dew display or something like that. And I'm like, I still didn't see the kid. I was like, I looked at my buddy, I'm like, Martin, what the fuck's wrong with you? Like, what did you do? He steps out of the way, the kid's like in this... like lying down, Mountain Dew all over him, and then I see his dad walking over. I was like, motherfucker. And that was like, if that wasn't bad enough, I guess he was doing kind of the intimidation factor, but he pulled out his badge. He was a cop. And of course, I'm like, I don't know, 12 years old. I'm like shitting my pants, and he just went off on me. I'm like, oh my God. And yeah, that was like a bad moment in arcade history for me, but
it was so much fun. I can't say that I've ever gotten into a fight at an arcade, kind of.
Well, it wasn't really a fight. It was a good friend. Like, we're still really good friends now. We joke around about that shit every time we ever play Street Fighter. Like, hey, remember that time you pushed me into that kid? Like, yeah.
Remember that time you knocked out the 4-year-old?
Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome.
You always hear the, like, oh, if you start kicking someone's ass, like, look, oh, if you don't stop being cheap, man, we're going to go outside and have a real Street Fighter. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, that's right. Fuck you up. I heard that line, like, all the time. That was, like, good times, though. Good times. I want to go back to those days.
Yeah, me too. Anyway, enough nostalgia.
See, now I'm just at the arcade at home. Everything's emulated, and everything on my Xbox, and, you know, building my own joysticks, and,
crazy world we live in.
Yeah,
and the game that I was really looking forward to using that joystick that you built me on has been delayed.
What game's that?
Battle Coliseum.
Battle Coliseum, yeah.
Title of last week.
Are we through with that? Should we move on to new
done.
Races?
I think we're done.
Have we had enough of living in the past and you know, showing
Forrest
how old we are
crying
about
here.
Our arcades?
You can go on. I'm still going to stay there, though. I won't
Back
say anything.
Games
I'm just going to reminisce.
Yes. We'll have a moment.
Go for it. Go on with the show. I'm all right.
Say those release dates that don't involve a Street Fighter or Mortal Kombat or a Capcom side scroller.
It has,
or those
it has
Ninja Turtles.
Neo Geo, it's got something. All right. Well, on to new releases then. For the Wii this week, Showtime Boxing, Kawasaki Quad Bikes, which was delayed from last week, Kids Sports Basketball, delayed from last week, Mythmakers Orbs of Doom, delayed from last week. Rig Racer 2.
Huh?
Yeah. Was there a Rig Racer
1?
I don't.
Oh my god, I thought that was a typo.
No, it's not Ridge Racer. It's Rig Racer 2.
All right. What kind of rig? Like a big rig?
Yes, big rig.
I think I played the first one in arcades.
Really?
Next 7. No, I'm kidding.
You're making shit.
I don't remember a 1, because of that, why the hell is there a 2? I don't know.
Because 2 is the new number 1.
The only thing worth mentioning on Wii this week is Knight's Journey into Dreams is coming out.
Nice.
Yeah.
Buy that shit, people.
I'm going to. It might not be right away, but I'm definitely getting it. So, DS this week. Elements of Destruction, Warhammer 40K Squad Commander, or Squad Command, sorry. Corvette Evolution GT. When will companies realize that racing games that are built around one kind of car
don't
suck
work.
Balls? I don't understand. I mean, I have never seen one of these things sell well. Or even get rated above like a 5. Indy 500 Legends, Luxor 2 delayed from last week, and MX versus ATV Untamed. Get ready, here comes the theme of the week for
Strawberry Shortcake.
Strawberry Shortcake. On 360, one game. MX versus ATV Untamed.
Untamed.
Untamed. PS3, MX versus ATV Untamed.
Untamed.
And that's it.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Are these maybe the same guys who made like ATV Off-Road Challenge and all that stuff, right?
I think so, yeah.
Didn't they used to be owned by Sony? Because I remember those games were just on Sony platforms before, weren't they?
You know,
I don't remember, because I remember one was actually packed in with a PS2 for quite a while.
I don't know.
I played the demo on the 360 and it sucks balls.
Is it?
Did you really?
Yeah.
You actually let that take up...
I like Motocross.
Oh, that's right. You're into free shit for some reason.
I'm a whore for it.
No, this is made by THQ.
Okay, I don't think THQ made the other ones. Maybe they just have the license for it now.
Yeah, I don't know. Let's see. Where was I? PSP.
Yeah, there you go.
PSP, Atari Classics Evolved, delayed from last week. Luxor Pharaoh's Challenge, delayed from last week. Warriors of the Lost Empire. And MX versus ATV, Untamed.
There we go.
For PS2, Neo Geo Battle Coliseum, which was delayed, unfortunately. Apparently, the Rock Band the game only is coming out, and I'm not sure why.
Oh, for those people listening in Canada, you can actually buy the Rock Band game by itself here now.
But why?
I don't know. That's helpful. I saw it today. Well, then again, I went to the independent store I like to go to, and they had it there. So I'm not sure if they have it everywhere, like EBs and stuff like that, but they definitely have it. If you look hard enough, you'd probably find it. Maybe, for all I know, this guy's like really good. He goes out and gets games himself, whatever.
It's
actually import them.
Yes.
So,
from the States.
It's possible. But they did have Rock Band there. I was actually tempted to buy it. I'm like, I'm not going to buy Rock Band without drums.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, if you don't have any, I don't know. That's
seriously,
really
you
weird.
You could maybe sing, I guess. I don't know if it would even accept a regular USB
mic. Yeah,
mic. I don't know.
I mean, maybe the PS2 Guitar Hero 3 controller works. I don't know. maybe they're going through all that shit. I have no idea. I would bet that the Guitar Hero, the previous Guitar Hero controllers work on Rock Band for PS2.
Okay.
I wouldn't doubt that.
No.
I've heard no.
Really?
Yeah, that they do not.
Huh. Well, that'd be something to look into.
Yeah.
PS2 is also getting MX versus ATV Untamed.
Untamed.
And I just want to make sure that people know, people out there that have a Wii and just a Wii, don't worry. MX versus ATV Untamed is coming out for Wii 2, but it's not until next month.
That's what I've been waiting for. Okay,
just so
good.
You know.
Too bad.
All right. I thought there was a mistake in the new releases because I didn't see one for the Wii. That's my mind at ease.
Hey, Jason, did anybody email us this week?
Maybe.
Maybe.
You holding out on us?
Was it yes or no? It's not a maybe.
I got some shit. You want to hear it?
Well.
It still doesn't answer the question.
Yes, we have emails.
With a show, with
I know
a
our
show
podcast
with
is long,
shit,
Jay, but for God, like,
shit.
God's sakes, hold it until the end.
All right, first up from Ricky. I'm gonna start calling you Ricky Duty, if that's okay.
Ricky Duty.
Is it okay?
Duty.
Right, anyway, first
Ricky
of all,
Bobby.
Good job. Like always. Second, I vote for Chris to do a review of Madden en Español and to make it interesting. Okay, good luck with that. The review has to be en Español. Chris, you going to do it?
No hablo Español.
What?
All right.
I like asking you to do something in
touching
French.
On the subject that you guys were talking about, the perfect game, in my opinion, there is and there isn't. There is because it's mostly a personal question, okay, or personal opinion. What I might find a great game maybe Jason would hate. I hate everything. Like when I said I'd like Killer Instinct a couple of weeks back. Hey, I loved Killer Instinct.
Oh, God.
Ass. Anyway. I totally love that game, but it's not a game for everyone. Right now, I think the perfect game is Rock Band. Why? Because I'm a music geek. I used to play in a band, and I craved for the stage performance, and Rock Band mimics that greatly when you're playing with friends. There's a lot of bad stuff with it, like the peripherals being pieces of shit, but that aside, I absolutely love the game. Thanks, Ricky Duty.
I have to agree with Ricky. He's a guy like, I'm going to love Rock Band just because I'm a wannabe music geek. I wanted to be a rock star, damn it, and I will
That's
rock
as
out
close
hard.
As most of us are going to get to being a rock
damn
star.
Damn right, close to ours, forcing my friends to be, yo, check this out, check out this drum roll. No, guys, stop. No, come on, seriously, watch for a second. Please. Guys, fuck. No, you could, yes, we can go to the bar in a second, but seriously, check this out. One hand. All right, fuck you guys.
All right, next email is from Mitch Dyer. He's Mitchy D on GLF. He writes
Mitchy D.
to say, Mitchy D. Hey guys, I'll avoid all the general, hey, keep it up, great job, love you long time, intro, and we'll just cut straight to the chase. Having recently been behind the scenes of a popular gaming outlet and seeing their very specific review scale, I can tell you that reviews are not broken. Each number of the scale is dictated by a very exact, precise description of the game, while the number is an application to request or to represent that. Now, I realize that not showing off this very specific rubric doesn't help the general readership, but it's there, full reels. The numbers are not there for show. It's not just an off, fuck it, we'll slap it on the number 7 at the end of it. Reviews at this outlet, anyway, are not based, are not decided based on the number. The number is an afterthought for reader closure, as far as I could gather. To say that the scale is broken seems very close-minded to me. Considering every single website and magazine bears a different scale, it's impossible for everyone's scores to be equal to each other's. True. They all reflect the same game, and if you read multiple review texts, you'll really notice a lot of similarities in them. People want a number to represent a review, and they want them to all be the same. But if it were like that, what would be the point of the review? It just becomes a summary because everyone is writing the exact same thing. 1UP's average rests at the 5 mark, where IGN is closer to a 6 or 7.
Yeah.
I find the application of items ridiculous as well. What in the blue fuck is a star worth? 4 stars? 3 banana peels? 17 pencils? It makes no sense. And there's no context. If it's worth a percentage, why not just do a, you know, 100 percentage scale? Hell, even IGN's specific 10th decimal system irks me, as you mentioned. If a game is a 7.7 and another is a 7.8, really, they're both an 8. You need to learn that 8 means, or you need to learn what that 8 means to that outlet as well. When will we start seeing, well, the 360 version of Orange Box is a 98.989, whereas the lesser PS3 version is a mere 98.976. Seriously, there's nothing wrong with adding a number to review. People love it. I just wish that these people would focus more on what's actually being said. Just like Jeff Gerstmann's review of Zelda last year. An 8.8 is a fucking awesome score at GameSpot. Hell, anywhere that's a damn fine score. You've also got to look at it as one dude or dudette's opinion. You mentioned trusted relation, and I could not agree more. I believe Jeff still found his score a touch high. He was right. It is old Zelda. Anyway, just wanted to vent a little bit, agreeing and disagreeing with you. Keep it real. Thanks, Mitch. All
right, thanks, Mitchy. Mitchy's a good guy.
Yeah, yes.
He has some good points there, but basically the one thing Mitchy's right in terms of the whole scale thing on like sites and mags and whatnot, but the general person doesn't know that. They look at the score, they'd be like, why is this site giving it a 7.7? Why is this one giving it an 8? They don't take into consideration what the qualifications are to get a 7.7 or an 8. They just look at the number.
Yeah, those people aren't fucking critics. That's the thing.
Yeah.
You know, like they're not qualified to be a critic going off of their own personal feelings. And they deserve, you know, any game that they're up in arms about, they just want it to have a 10 for the most part.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And it basically comes out, it's not just the video game industry, it's every industry is the same way. When you read movie reviews, you're going to find out they're all over the place. You don't know what a star is worth, what a thumb is worth, what whatever is worth. It just comes down to the same thing. Just keep in mind, it's an opinion, and opinions vary. And
yeah.
You know. But good way to do it is like IGN does it with most of their big name titles. They have one reviewer and they have like a second thought. I think Game Informer does it too, like a second opinion type thing.
Yeah, they have a second opinion.
Yeah, which is a good way to doing it. But hey.
Hey, Mitch, I agree with you. I do agree that what we said was a little close-minded, that the entire review system is broken. I hate to put a big sweeping generalization, but
yeah.
I think a lot of places it is. But
yeah.
You're right.
We were really mentioning, at least I was when I was talking about it, is the big three that are out there, and that's GameSpot, 1UP, and IGN, and that's that all three of them have their moments where it's just kind of like, what are you talking about, and I think that's more that what we were trying to get across. And yeah, we probably were going a little crazy when we said the number system in general was broken, when in reality it's just that the use of the number system in some cases by some sites is just ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly. Anything,
so
a little too ambiguous for my taste, because they don't really break it down for us. They don't. I don't know.
No. Like some will. They'll give you a really broad description of what is what within each category, but that's about it.
I often wonder about, like, some places, they'll give the 9.7 or something like that, but they'll give, like, a 10 to sound. I mean, does that seem arbitrary to you? Like, how do they really judge?
Well, it's not an average, though, right? Sound could be amazing. You have a game that has amazing sound and everything, but everything else is fucking ass.
True, and vice versa. And I wonder if the sound kind of gets upped, the sound score gets up just because the overall game itself.
That's another thing, which is you don't know. Like, when we say broken, we don't mean, like, exactly what Jay's saying. You don't know how much they're weighing in on that sound score, whether the other factors. That's where it can technically be broken. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like watching a movie and saying, "Oh my god, dude, that movie was friggin' amazing." When realistically, just because the ending blew you away, it makes the rest of the movie awesome. Yeah. It's the last thing you remember.
Exactly.
Hey,
if that's David, I'm gonna kick it. I can't find my phone.
Is that your
Here's
phone?
Another piece that we have to edit out.
Yeah, it's David. Alright, I'm sorry.
No problem.
He's wanting to come over. Gotta turn off. Anyway. Alright, on with the show.
Cool.
Anyway, moving along. Tyler Black, Gamer Glory on GLF. I love this email. Yo, the show is awesome. It's missing something, though. It's missing Gamer Glory. See you guys. P.S. Coming soon.
Awesome.
Liar. I haven't seen anything.
I haven't seen nothing yet, man. We've been bugging you. Send that in. We'll put it on here. Because I know everyone's waiting.
I've got one more email. We've got to do this kind of quick, though.
Yeah.
Slightly odd topic for a podcast. This is from Paul Convey, Ravenblade on VGEVO.
Mm-hmm.
Slightly odd topic for a podcast here, as you really need to see the pictures that go along with this. But the link could be stuck in the show notes, which we'll do. Chris, you've already agreed to that.
Yep.
Let's see. Anyway, I just came across this today, and it's someone talking about their visit to Chernobyl and includes a ton of photos. But if you've played through Call of Duty 4 single player, well, some of these photos might hit home if you take a look at them and compare them to the sniper missions in Call of Duty 4. The comparison is pretty spooky. When I played through those missions myself, I thought that these were the best missions of the game, or some of. And the setting is really eerie, but I would have never thought of it as being so closely based on the real thing. What do you guys think? Personally, when I see it, it made me start thinking about it twice. I don't have anything against the game whatsoever for using it as a setting, but those missions in the game coupled with those real pictures made it hit home. What really happened to Chernobyl, and how it's something that is pretty much forgotten now, I think. Would the game by itself make you consider what happened by itself, or does it take seeing the real thing? Now, Jeff, you're the Call of Duty guy.
Yeah, and to answer his question, you guys sent me that link today with those pictures of Chernobyl on there, and I remember playing through that mission, and he's right, it's definitely one of the best missions in the entire game. And I was thinking to myself, I wonder how much, if they're actually going for an actual representation of what it looks like now, or if they're kind of just going on, they just have this kind of like ghost town like area, kind of amusement park setting. And then when you sent those pictures, it's exactly what he said was, so when I was playing the game, I just kind of figured, hey, it's kind of like, the fantasy Chernobyl, what it could possibly look at. But when I saw those pictures and how well they actually represented it in the game, to the point of, basically, it's identical. The same building you see in that picture, came with the red signs, kind of like crooked lettering, and the sign, the building's all abandoned with, like, you know, like pieces of like concrete decaying and whatnot. Like, you actually walk not only through that building or by that building, you actually go inside that building. And in the distance is kind of like a Ferris wheel, and then there's like a section with bumper cars that are all abandoned. They're all the paint's all tarnished on them and whatnot. It basically looks like a nuke could have went off in this area, and it is in the game. And there's actually this whole scene where you're actually fighting off a horde of guys in this scene, and that's exactly what is in that picture. It's exactly like it. There's the Ferris wheel there. There's the bumper cars. The buildings, it's, but like he said, when I saw those pictures, like, wow, that's, it actually made me stop and think, like, holy shit, like, that was, like, real, and they actually got that in the game. And I think he's right, when you don't really realize what that means or what actually happened there until you actually see these real photos that are, and the photos aren't anything, like, if you haven't seen, they're nothing, you don't see, like, bodies or nothing like that. It's not like they say, like, it's basically the aftermath of this whole meltdown that happened years ago, and just, they represent it perfectly. Like, it's like he said too, it's, you want to give props to developers for being like, wow, that's great detail and you nailed it. But at the same time, it really kind of makes you sit back and think, like, this actually happened. And if, especially when you read through the description of the person who actually went to Chernobyl, you read through the whole, his experience there and how he went on this, like, this kind of tour type thing. It's kind of, you know, it kind of gets you. It kind of makes you think for a second, like, holy shit, this is some serious, serious stuff.
True to life.
Yeah. So you guys,
so there actually is the level is actually supposed to take place in Chernobyl.
The actual mission level is called Chernobyl.
Oh, see, I didn't know that. That makes it even creepier.
Yeah, exactly. It takes place there, and that's actually, and it's actually post the whole thing too, obviously, because it's modern warfare. So it's, but yeah, no, seriously, guys, like, play through that level, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. You'll be like, holy crap! And have those pictures on your PC there, you'll be like, damn.
I'm gonna give Call of Duty a rent, to be sure, just because everyone's really
interested. I'm probably gonna take a look at it too. Even, you know, me and my first person shooter hatred out of the way, I keep hearing about so much about this game, and you know, I'm gonna give it a shot.
Do it. It's short.
So much as I just suck really bad.
And if you just want to get to the Chernobyl level, that's actually not too far in the game. So
okay,
it's not that bad.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's all I really had for emails besides the question of the week stuff. Chris, what was our question last week?
Question last week was, do you play downloadable games for an extended period of time, and if so, what are they?
Cool. Well, Ricky Duty, a game that I downloaded from a virtual console or marketplace that I keep playing, actually, none. I've downloaded a bunch of EC games and some XBL games, and I play them once or twice, and I don't play them anymore. I think the only one I played for a long time was Ninja Gaiden, and I stopped playing it because I got to a level that when you died, you get sent back 2 levels. Oh, and I would like to see Chris in the
costume. That sucks.
That's kind of creepy, Ricky.
That is.
I don't know what would have given you that idea about Chris in a leopard costume, but...
Could have been Jason's fucking post on the site. But no, you're not going to get to see that. So,
anyway.
Moving on.
From Paul Convey, otherwise known as Ravenblade. Answer to episode 4 question of the week. For me, it totally depends on the downloadable game. Grip Shift and Flow are two that I downloaded and had fun with for a few days, but their appeal hasn't lasted for me.
Oh,
but on the other hand...
Sorry. Go ahead.
But on the other hand, Super Stardust HD and Blast Factor, I keep going back to and still really enjoy them. Also, just downloaded Pixel Junk Racers last week, and it's got me hooked on it. Can be extremely frustrating, and it's pretty hardcore, but it has something that makes me want to keep going back to it. While the likes of Flow, very cool, but for me, it just doesn't have that hook. So, not a lot of response, and not a lot of people that are going back to their downloaded games. What do you guys think?
No. Yeah, I'd kind of do the same. I remember when there wasn't too many 360 games out there, I was downloading quite a few Xbox Live Arcade games. Play them once or twice, never play them again. Even Calling All Cars for the PS3. Downloaded that. I think I played it twice online with a couple people from GLF and haven't touched it since. The only games I go back to regularly are Geometry Wars, Street Fighter 2, and the occasional Mortal Kombat here or there. And that's basically about it. I play them for a couple days. Even though they're not saying they're bad games, just they hold my attention for literally like one or two plays, and that's about it. And not too many for me.
Yeah, I've downloaded probably 4 games on Virtual Console, several Xbox Live Arcade games, whether it be via purchase or via free code, and several PSN games. And to be honest, there's only a few that have kept my attention, and they're all on PSN. Grip Shift has kept my attention just because I'm a big fan of it, and I had it on PSP way back in the day. And when it came out on PS3, you know, I picked it up, $10, and you know, I always have fun with it. Super Stardust HD, like Ravenblade said, it's just a high quality dual stick shooter I can always go back to. Mm-hmm. And then, in the same lines, Everyday Shooter. I mean, I you know, this game is fantastic, and I go back to it all the time. Besides that, I mean, I can't really think of any other ones that I go back to regularly right now. I can see myself playing Pain for a while, but unless there's downloadable content, I see that wearing off eventually too. But the ones I go back to right now are probably Grip Shift, Super Stardust, and Everyday Shooter.
Cool. Well, you know, there's not a ton of games in general, and I'm not just talking about downloadable games, but any games that I, you know, pick up and play to completion and then go back to later on. You know, a lot of the downloadable stuff I'll actually go through. Like, you know, when I got Legend of Zelda on Virtual Console, I played through that. You know, I haven't touched since, though, but I suppose now the only ones that I really go back to, Puzzle Quest on Xbox Live, and Street Fighter. Those are really the two big ones. I've downloaded a shit ton of stuff, but it's tough to go back to those once you've gone through them, I guess. Most of it's just nostalgia.
So yeah, I find that a lot,
too. That's
enough
to keep me coming back week after week.
You download a game thinking it was awesome, you play it for 3 minutes, like, wow, that's good as I thought.
Yes.
Yeah, the games I downloaded for Virtual Console, there were 4 of them. I have Kid Icarus, I have Castlevania 4, Gunstar Heroes, and Act Racer.
Nice.
And those 4 are outstanding games, but I go back to them and I play them, and it's just like, it just doesn't have... I mean, Act Racer I played a lot when I got it, so... But the other ones, it was just kind of like, it doesn't have it anymore.
Yeah. Yep. Also, you find that if you do actually play them through completion, they don't actually take that long, so
yeah,
you
don't really
go back to them.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Well, yeah.
All right. Well, that's pretty much question of the week from last week. Do we have a new one?
Yes, we do, and we're gonna take it off of what you were talking about with your Dear Spite TV. Mm-hmm. We want to ask you guys, how would your video game award show work? What would you do? How would you have it? How would you nominate stuff? How would you choose which one? Which games win? Just give us an idea of what you think, and you know, we'll let you know what we think.
That's right.
Please know Samuel motherfucking Jackson.
Exactly. True that.
Sick of these motherfucking snakes on this
motherfucking plane. God damn.
All right. Well, guys, I think that's all we got this week.
Mm-hmm. What do you guys think? Pretty good episode? Yes? No? Maybe so?
Yeah, we'll find out.
I'm not talking to you assholes. I'm talking to the other assholes that are listening.
Oh, shit. Sorry.
Do you like the show?
Hey.
No?
Hey, Jason.
Email. Yeah.
Jason.
What?
We don't have many listeners left. Don't call them assholes, okay?
I think he's calling me an asshole.
All y'all assholes. A whole lot of you. These are the jokes. Come on.
Drop us a line and let us know what you think. Email at interactivedistractions.com. Send in your thoughts, comments, and answers to question of the week. And with Jason, Jeff, and Chris, we will see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Check you later.